about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Listen, people, we know you're having a great time, but it takes a lot of guts to come up here and do this, so don't be rude.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
All right, New Yorkers. This isn't always appropriate, but it is today. So if you don't mind, anybody with a pair, join me. USA! USA! Come on! USA! Dylan's dead! USA! 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 All right. You're welcome to all the military. And everyone who protects you while you sleep.
And now.
Now, for your Christmas present. Your suspension's been lifted. Please come back to work.
Our feature presentation.
The holidays were good.
Happy New Year. Come on.
It's good.
Good job. Mike's still right in.
If you have 2.5 weeks to get someplace, you ought to be able to get there. I don't care where you are in the globe. Dude.
How's it going?
Really?
Really what?
Come on. This is what we expect. I'm not disappointed at all. Hi, Kevin.
If I was here early, would you guys be excited? No.
No, not at all.
I will tell you, though, and I'm sure we all had the same thought, when we heard the arsonist had been arrested, we thought, well, who's going to fill in for Kevin this week?
How dare you?
I was convinced. I was convinced it was going to be you. About 3 fires in, I thought, damn it, Kevin is back at it again.
He does love the fire.
How dare you? Got to be 20 fires, 30 fires, 40 fires. I figured the dude is on a roll.
I'm not an arsonist.
Really?
I love fire. I love fire. Don't get me wrong.
But you managed to control your love?
I'm not an arsonist. No, I'm not going to go.
You've set your share of fires, dude.
Of course. But I was.
Who hasn't?
But I'm not smart enough to not get caught. So
yeah, neither was this dude.
So I've been caught every single time. Well, this dude at least got away with it for a while, right?
Yeah,
right.
For quite a while. He did a lot of fires.
I admire him. Don't get me wrong.
I think they should have arrested him and put him in jail for being 49 and living with his mom and having a ponytail. I think there are a lot of reasons this guy needed to be in jail before he even started setting fires. Jeez. Anyway, welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, the first for 2012. Here's a story that it happened the day after our last day of work of 2011, and I have been just burning up, dying to talk about it. Lots of things have happened since this story, but this is the one that I want to come back with because if you miss this, guys, you won't believe it. Huh? Rosemount, Minnesota is where the high school is, and they were having some sort of a pep assembly, and it's been a long time since I've been involved in anything like this, but I guess sometimes they have activities for the students or they play wacky games. And of course they have the cheerleaders and songs and speeches and dances and all sorts of things to get you ready for the big game. Right.
Yeah.
Well, somebody thought it would be a great idea to take some of the players from the teams, various teams involved in the athletics there at Rosemount High, and blindfold them. And then in front of an auditorium full of people at the assembly, have them kiss someone.
Awesome.
And the audience, the audience would get a huge kick out of it, and the blindfolded kids would have a great time because now, they're at that age where it's a pretty big deal to be making out with a member of the opposite sex, and hilarity ensues and fun for all, right? Well, it went horribly wrong, and there's so many questions to be asked and so many fingers to be pointed here, but the principal ultimately has issued the apology after the assembly, saying, as principal, I am responsible for everything that happens in the school. Ultimately, I'm the person who needs to answer for this. What they decided to do was have the blindfolded students step forward, start making out with a member of the opposite sex, then take off the blindfold, and it was then revealed that they were all making out with their own parents.
The best thing I've ever heard.
Oh my God.
Because how horrifying.
How horrifying. Who are the adults involved in putting on this idea? And who are the parents who said, yes, I will make out with my 16-year-old son in the case of the moms, or make out with my 17-year-old daughter in the case of the fathers?
So the parents knew.
Yes!
The parents
knew!
No!
And hey, we're going to slow dance and that'll be funny. This is full on deep kissing.
Where was it?
Minnesota.
No. That music doesn't apply then. Maybe they move.
I am not kidding when I tell you, when you see this video, it will turn your stomach because, I mean, who's the parent who wants to do that, who wants to kiss their kid on the lips like that? This isn't tucking him in and kissing him on the forehead at night. I mean, this is makeup. And one of the moms, she takes her son's hand and moves it down so that he's feeling up her butt.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Really? You know what?
I
think our next president of the United States is the person, the one, the point guy who was able to talk all of this into happening. Like, how do you call a parent? What's your opening statement? All right, this is going to sound crazy, but just go with me. That person can convince anybody of anything.
He could sell anybody anything. Yes. You're right.
It does sound like a great deal of therapy is going to be needed. And these kids, I mean, can you imagine how much fun they're going to be made of for the rest of the time they go to that high school? Because, hey, I saw you making out with your dad, you know?
Best practical joke ever.
Creepiest.
I know there are... Though there are people who are upset about what they have seen, as principal, I am responsible for what happens for all the people who are offended. They are genuinely offended, and I owe them an apology. Then he goes on to say that maybe they saw the clip on the internet, and that clip was only a minute long, and it was taken from an activity that went on for nearly half an hour. The lesson to be learned is what you see on the internet. Sometimes you just see portions of what really happened, and it can lead you to think a certain way. But I don't care what else was going on in that half hour. If this is the part that if this happened, then I think we're right to jump to a judgment here that it was a bad idea.
This is the dumbest principle ever. You don't go, hey, and there's so much more that wasn't on the video. You don't say that.
Finally, this is supposed to be a fun event, and it should leave everyone feeling pepped. And if it is leaving people not feeling good or embarrassed or hurt, then it is absolutely the opposite of what we were trying to do. No one felt pepped as a result of this. I have news for you. We may have to put this video up. You may have to see this because it's horrifying.
I don't know. Parents don't want you hanging around with their kids for some reason.
Yeah. Maybe it's the parents that we don't need hanging around with the kids for some reason.
Yeah, those moms have been wanting those boys for a long time.
Oh, don't even make it uglier than it
is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let's make out with them. Yeah. That's unbelievable that happened. You wouldn't believe it if it happened with just one kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you'd go, no way. It's got to be more to the story. I don't understand it. But how many kids did it?
I don't know. It doesn't say exactly. I mean, in the video, there's at least three that you can see.
Sweet.
So I don't know.
Oh, that's awesome, as long as it happened to somebody else. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Talk about energy. Boy, you feel it in the air.
Yes. I purposely didn't record that because I did not want to know what happened. With that Dick Clark's New Year's Eve, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's not getting any better, if that's what you were worried about.
But he was back, and he was participating, and...
Yep.
I'm afraid so.
Love it. Love it. Can't wait.
And he gummed his wife right at midnight.
Oh, he did, I saw
gumming.
It.
Let's not gum anymore. No, that's not sexy. Maybe bring in his daughter or somebody else like that and blindfold
gum her.
Him. Yeah. Also on today's program, we have Andrew Siciliano in the studio,
mm-hmm.
talking about the NFL.
Andrew gets Sundays off now, starting this week.
Yeah, he does, as a matter of fact.
He's finally done with his red zone, yeah.
A sad moment, I gotta tell you.
Well, there's still football
the
for us to
of
watch.
Of course.
Just not as much.
The red zone's the best. We also have Rick Savage, who works here at the radio station, apparently was interviewing people. What was he doing? What kind of video did he get, Bean?
He shot video of the arrest of the arsonist.
Sweet.
Yeah,
he's
a citizen journalist now. Apparently, it's all over the internet, and he got the video of it. Yeah, just by coincidence, I guess. He heard a racket outside where he lives down on Sunset Boulevard, and went out and filmed it. And that turned out to be what they were doing.
Used to work here.
That's
the radio
very
station.
Cool.
Apparently, so. Yes.
Made a citizen's arrest. That's what we would need to ask him. Make a citizen's arrest. Can you make a citizen's arrest even if they're already arrested by the police?
No. I don't think so. I think that supersedes you.
That'd be awesome, though, right?
It would.
Sure.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Checking out all the latest celebrity gossip over the holidays.
Big breakup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got next. Matt Money Smith talking about the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? That started while we were gone. And we have the fastest broken New Year's resolutions. We do this every year. The very first day we come back, we have people call in and we have them tell us what their New Year's resolution was and then how long it took them to break it.
I said I was not going to make out with my kids anymore. And then midnight came and I needed someone to kiss. So what am I supposed to do?
It's not my fault.
Highlights of Dick Clark, like we said a minute ago. We got that coming up. And thanks for that tweet, Bean, also on the program.
Come on. So that's, how did
that's happening. And we're all excited about that as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5:52.
Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Welcome in. Welcome to 2012. Welcome Ralph Garman, who joins us in studio for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Ladies and gentlemen, Ralph Garman.
Oh, God.
What?
Anyone else cry a little bit this morning when you had to get up this early?
Yes.
I am not going to be able to go back to getting up this early. It's just not going
to
happen.
Look, we have a great job. We understand that. We get to come here and screw around a lot. But that when the alarm goes off, that does blow.
Wow. Tough adjustment.
Wow. The first, especially first day back after just sleeping as late as you want. Well, as late as you can.
Yeah.
Now, do you ease yourself into it a little bit, a couple days early? You know,
no.
Start getting up a little bit earlier just so you start to get used to it?
No.
No one does that.
No.
I do that.
Oh. I know you do.
I totally do that.
No. I got up this morning and I was like, I'm going to cry just a little bit.
Yeah.
I shed a few tears. And I still am not right. But I'll do my best. I will carry on. I will sally forth.
You can fake it.
I will sally field. I will do whatever I need to do. I will sally. And I will talk about show business news. Happy New Year, everybody. Here are your numbers. Not officially Monday when we usually do this, but it's our first day back. So here are the figures for the four-day holiday weekend at the box office. So you can see what people are going to in the theaters. This Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol just owns the box office.
Good movie.
Yeah, it was.
Number one again this weekend, $38.3 million.
I saw an article yesterday that made reference to Tom Cruise being introduced to a new generation of movie fans. Because I guess it has been quite a while since he's had a big hit movie, and now there are people out there going, hey, this guy's pretty good. Who's this guy?
Just in time for him to pass the baton of the Mission Impossible franchise to Jeremy Renner. And
by the way, Simon Pegg stole the movie.
He steals every movie. He's great in everything he does.
You know, there's always
Star Trek for me. Just great.
There's always that comedic guy in a movie like this, and a lot of times it doesn't work. A lot of times it's like, oh, they're forcing it in. He was fantastic.
Real good actor. Sherlock Holmes, Game of Shadows, was 22nd with $26.5 million. Then, woo! Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked. Chipwrecked.
They were chipwrecked, were they?
They're chipwrecked.
Yeah.
Because they're Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Chipwrecked, also the name of the holiday of our assistant producer in there, Chip. Apparently she was drinking quite a bit.
That's correct.
War Horse was fourth. Girl with the Dragon Tattoo came in at number five.
I love that. Anybody see that?
No. Mm-mm. I didn't see one movie over the holidays.
Really?
Nor did I.
I didn't get to theaters once. Well, you never get to the theaters.
Yeah.
But I tried to, but it was just one of those super hectic holidays for me.
Yeah.
I'm more tired now than I was before we left for the holidays.
You need a break?
I need to come back to work so I can get some rest. Yeah. So I'm going to be taking a nap.
Dragon Tattoo I saw twice and loved.
Really?
Yeah.
Excellent.
We Bought a Zoo was sixth. The Adventures of Tintin. New Year's Eve was eighth. The Darkest Hour and The Descendants rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Anybody know who Brandy Glanville is from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
No.
She is a star of one of that popular Real Housewife franchise shows, and she got married over the weekend in Las Vegas. Not big news, but I just liked the way that she tweeted everyone the good news. She said, I'm married again, so everyone can suck it.
What does that mean?
It means she's a classy, classy lady.
Does that mean, like, all of you guys that are dying for me? Give it up? Is that sort of what it means? Or
I guess there's some people,
didn't think I'd never go through with
it. She would never get married again. She's kind of hard to deal with. She's a bit of a harpy.
Yeah.
They celebrated at Spearmint Rhino after the ceremony there in Vegas.
All right.
The groom, by the way, Darren Harvey, who
Wait,
was a...
Wait, you're serious?
Yeah, yeah.
Spearmint Rhino.
A quickie wedding at one of those chapels on the Strip, and then partying at the Spearmint Rhino afterwards.
That's awesome.
She's a classy lady. I told you this. She married a mixed martial arts manager named Darren Harvey, who has announced he's planning on annulling the marriage.
Already?
Yeah. So everything...
Wow.
This is one of the best wedding stories I've heard in a long time.
Did they just do it for the TV show? Are they filming it?
I don't know.
I imagine that answer has to be yes, knowing what you know about all those shows.
Yeah, anytime there's reality television involved, I tend to believe that it is a big publicity stunt. But
you watch The Bachelor last night, Ralph?
I started, because my wife, as you know, is Bachelor fan number one.
She sucked you in, right?
Hardcore.
So we sat down, and I said, well, I enjoy spending time sharing television time with my wife, and there's not a lot of shows we agree on. So I try to watch The Bachelor with her. Last year, I got hooked. I got sucked into it. I really got involved.
You're way into it.
Yeah. This year, I started watching, and it was so awful.
Oh, no.
I said, honey, I think you're on your own this year. I don't know. I don't know if I could invest an entire season with this show. It was so super cheesy and so over the top, even for them, sort of schmaltzy. I mean, girls were coming up to The Bachelor, getting out of the car, and, hi, I'm a law student. And you're guilty. He's like, guilty of what? No. Guilty of being sexy. That's what I turned my head. I said, these women, they're yours.
Can you they can throw have people them. Off immediately?
I don't believe they can.
That would have been the best.
Well, the show's been on a long time, so everybody who goes on the show as The Bachelor or Bachelorette has seen it now. It has a strategy, just like playing Survivor or any game show. They know how they're going to play it, right?
And they especially want to show up and make an impression early on,
right?
Because they had this cocktail party after all the girls show up, and he like boots 10 of them right away.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, that's the first show. So they try to make an impression somehow stick in his head,
right?
So that he'll be intrigued at least to you know keep him around for another couple weeks. And so the things that they do to try to make an impression are embarrassing. Girls showed up.
Are there any hotties this year?
Girl showed up on a horse. Girl showed up from Kentucky with a giant hat, like a 4 foot diameter hat. Because they wear a big hat to the Kentucky Derby. Sure. She wanted him to remember she was from Kentucky.
Sombrero?
One girl wore a sash from her Miss Pacific Palisades competition.
Wow.
It was just an embarrassment of womankind all over the screen last night.
I sit down with my wife is watching those for about 3 seconds, and then I realize what it is. Stand up, walk out.
Pretty rough. It's pretty rough stuff. While we're talking about reality television, really quickly, programming note. Tonight, you definitely want to check out a Celebrity Wife Swap.
Oh, why?
Because this is the show that has Gary Busey and his wife swapping partners with Reverend Ted Haggard, who was discovered, of course, in a hotel room with a gay prostitute and some meth, and managed to keep his marriage intact.
If this isn't the greatest show on TV, they ruined it.
Buzz on the show, by the way, is that it's freaking hilarious.
Awesome. What channel is that?
That's ABC.
ABC.
Okay. ABC Tonight. You're going to want to check that out. But by all accounts, everyone who's seen it says you don't want to miss it.
Love it.
I know they had a preview last night with Tracy Gold and Carney Wilson. That episode was on last night. And I thought,
oh, was it?
Don't start with that one. Give us the Busey. That's what we want.
There was an episode on last night?
Yes.
Oh, I did not know that. Well, anyway, Gary Busey, I think, believe is tonight's show. So you can check that out.
That's all we care about.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And Katy Perry apparently enjoying her singlehood.
I got next.
According to the New York Post, she was partying in West Hollywood this weekend to ring in 2012. Laughing, dancing, according to onlookers, and apparently there was one lucky young man by the end of the evening. Yeah. They say she definitely has a type. He was
smelly.
Smelly.
British.
And had hair down to his shoulders. No, he didn't have hair down to his shoulders, but apparently he was. He looked very reminiscent of Russell
Brand. Was there anybody on this planet that didn't expect this to happen?
No, I wasn't surprised.
I wasn't either.
I mean,
but I guess, and we'll talk to Harvey about this later, but I guess the word was it wasn't what we thought it would be, which is he relapsed or she cheated or whatever it was. It was just, hey, we didn't know each other very well before we got married, and we're very different people who like to do very different things, so maybe it was a bad match.
Imagine that. Who could have seen that coming?
Yeah.
Plus, he's Russell Brand. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Can you imagine living with him?
No.
You could take him in 2 minute doses. Yeah. That's about
he's
it.
He's the charming guy at the party that you think you're in love with until you move in with him and then you realize, oh, he's exhausting. And I feel bad for myself, about myself, but I was kind of happy because they just bludgeoned us with their love when they were no one's ever been more in love than us. And he was on Ellen 2 weeks ago saying, till death do we part, and I'm not dead yet, so we're never going to separate. And
they had a big $1 million wedding on elephants in India.
No one's ever been married and as much in love as we are. We're better than you.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
You're going to harass us with your wedding. It better last.
That's right. Can't people just go off and just get married quietly and just leave us alone? Today's celebrity birthdays. Bassist John Paul Jones of the legendary Led Zeppelin is 66 years old today. Actor Mel Gibson, who, by the way, ladies, is now officially single.
No.
Excellent.
Good news.
He's available. He is 56 years old. He has no prenup with his wife, Robin, of 28 years.
Ouch.
So I think they will be splitting up his $900 million his net worth.
Wow.
She's going to make about $450 million in the divorce.
I mean, she's got to live.
She's earned it, though, right?
Yeah.
She's earned it. Being married to Mel Gibson for 28 years?
Probably, yeah.
Actor Jason Marsden from Ally McBeal is 37 years old today. Danica McKellar from The Wonder Years. She played Tootie on that show, right?
Winnie.
Winnie, that's it. Winnie, yeah. That was Facts of Life, Tootie. Yeah. She's 37. And New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning.
Oh.
Yay! He's 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Oh, Dick. Oh, Dick.
If I've heard you say that once, I've heard you say it a thousand times.
The 40th anniversary of Dick Clark's New Year's Eve Rockin' Eve, by the way, which was on New Year's Eve this year. They decided to mix it up. Had its highest ratings in 11 years. Over 10 million people averaged throughout the 5 hours that it was on. Over 22 million people watching at midnight to see Dick Clark gum his wife and ring in New Year's for 2012.
Now, we should say that we are not making fun of people who have strokes. Because
but we are making fun of a person who had a stroke.
Yes, a person that had a stroke and continues to force himself onto TV.
Right, that's the point.
That's the difference.
In a speaking role.
If you have a grandparent that had a stroke, that's not there's nothing funny about that. If you're Dick Clark and you had a stroke and you insist on being on TV every single year, dude, what do you want us to do?
Right.
I don't understand this because Dick Clark is one of the biggest names in entertainment. He produces dozens of shows. He's a respected guy with tremendous judgment and has for 60 years in the business.
Easy with the tremendous judgment lately.
Why does he put himself on television and embarrass everyone? I mean, I heard from people who said, I wanted to watch New Year's Eve on ABC and couldn't. It was too sad. Because
this is what everybody's been waiting for.
It's not a party when you see that guy trying to talk and count, right?
I recorded it, but then on the first, I was going to go back and watch it. I thought, no, I don't want to watch it. I want to hear it for the first time on the air.
Well, it's a big moment around 11:45 each year when Ryan sets it up and he's getting ready to throw it to Dick, who's inside. And you're wondering, how's he going to be this year? Because not only does he still have a stroke, but he's now another year older.
Now, as I hang out down here on the streets, let's go upstairs to the man who we've been celebrating all night long. He started this party 40 years ago. Dick Clark. Dick.
Okay, so you hear that and you go, all right, deep breath. Yep. What's it going to be like?
Here we go.
Happy New Year.
Thank you, Ryan. What a great party. You know, when we began 40 years ago, I never dreamed our program would become a habit for minutes, year after year.
You guys still in?
I don't understand why he insists. I know. I mean, maybe it's overcoming adversity or whatever, but it seems like through speech therapy and everything else, maybe you can get better. And so I keep thinking, well, maybe he's a little better than last year, and he wants to show everybody and encourage them, and he's not.
And people were suggesting, maybe, old people die when they stop working, but he literally is on the show for less than a half an hour. They wheel him in behind the desk. He's probably got no pants on. He's just got the tuxedo top, because you can't tell, and he sits there for about 20 minutes. They throw it to him three or four times, and then they take him away. So it's not like he's actually working.
Now, you put up a picture of him at krock.com and kevinandbean.com, and he's orange.
Yes, that is right off my television. That's a screen cap right off my TV from watching it. It looks like he can't walk anymore. It looks like his wife wheels him out and puts him on a lawn chair in Palm Springs all summer long.
Right. Or it doesn't even look like that fake orange tan. It really does look like she just took a spray can of orange paint.
Yes, you have to see this picture at krock.com or kevinandbean.com of Dick Clark. Let's hear more of what he had to say.
After a year. And tonight, it's bigger and better than ever. Three.
Dick and Ryan are on the scene in New York City.
That was him going, free.
What's free mean?
Free. He's throwing it to Fergie, because Fergie's hosting their coverage in Hollywood. Yes.
You could have paid me $1 million. I would have never gotten Fergie out of that.
Free.
Free.
Dick!
Thank you very much, Ryan. You know, we have a whale of a moment coming up. People everywhere have one thing on their mind.
And when are you going to step down, old man?
Why will you stop talking to us?
Isn't that the only possible thing you can have on your mind is, why is this dude on my TV? Look, here's what we've been... How long has it been since Mr. Clark had the stroke? It's been about 5 years.
Yeah, 5 or 6 years. Right.
Okay. And don't we say the same thing every year, which is, not a party, not festive, not fun. Right?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, he could be proud of I don't know. It just seems like he could be proud of whatever. He's still got his mental faculties. He still has that great history of broadcasting. He can celebrate in other ways, but when he comes into the what's supposed to be the party of the night, that's not really a party.
And I think Seacrest is well enough established as the guy who's doing the heavy lifting on that show that if he were behind the desk the whole night like Dick used to be, I think people would be fine. I don't think the ratings would suffer. I don't think we only are tuning in because he's on it anymore.
Although I don't have any idea why people would watch Ryan Seacrest when they could watch Carson Daly, the real deal and is 100 times better. But go ahead.
Well, let's find out what the one thing is on everyone's mind.
What will Lady Gaga do to entertain the world tonight? Talk about energy. Boy, you can feel it in the air.
Right. Okay.
You know, we're back live in New York. Who are the people down there tonight?
I love, by the way, and I guess Dick doesn't really have a job except they throw it to him every couple of minutes to say something. And he virtually says the same thing every year. He doesn't bring anything new to us.
We're having the best time. This is the biggest party.
And now he's speculating who the people are in the crowd. And that's what I want, is Dick just ad-libbing away as long as it takes.
8 out of 10 are from out of town. And many came here from all over the world. Penny?
It's our new Fun Facts with Old Guy.
Did he say Penny at the end? Is he asking for a penny?
Believe it or not.
Jenny?
He actually threw it to Jenny McCarthy, who's their correspondent. So they got Fergie in Hollywood, who's awful, by the way. Then they throw it to Jenny McCarthy, who says this.
Dick, thank you so much.
Which is certainly not the first time she said that.
No.
I believe we're up to midnight now, which is where they give Mr. Clark as little time as possible. They throw it to him with about 20 seconds left, so he doesn't have to ad-lib too long.
Before you play this, I would just like to reiterate, not making fun of stroke victims. A lot of people have strokes. It's sad. A lot of people have inspirational stories. But all of them are not on TV counting down to midnight.
Right,
exactly. He does force the spotlight on himself, doesn't he? Let's see how he does. You remember that one year where he got behind and then another year where he skipped a number? You know, this is where I do hold my breath each year as he's the guy who is entrusted with the clock. Don't give the guy who has the hardest time of 2 million people in New York telling time, don't give him the job of counting it down.
Yeah.
Seems like it's quite a risk.
Amazing. Just what Dick Clark is, Dick.
Thank you, Ryan. Now, look at that picture above me. I don't care where you live. You won't find anything like it anywhere on the earth. 40 years later, I still find it amazing. Ryan?
Apparently he's not quite yet at midnight.
Now wait, is he saying he's... Did he say, I find it amazing?
He finds it amazing. Yes,
okay.
He does.
What, the people? Or
he's just stunned at how many people show up to celebrate New Year's in New York.
Okay.
Right. So, all right, now I think we're at 12.
Dick, you've done this for the last 40 years. Please take it away. Count us down to the new year.
All right. And now, the big moment we're waiting for. We'll hear the roar of the crowd.
Come on.
What?
Really?
What did he say?
You don't know.
We'll hear the roar of the crowd. Building the backhoe.
What is he? The roar of the crowd is building a backhoe?
I heard the roar of the... Yeah, the roar of the crowd. But
hold on.
The roar of the crowd. Building the backhoe.
A heck log?
I really don't know.
No. One more time.
Roar of the crowd. Building the backhoe.
I don't know.
Building in the background. Or building in the background.
Building in the background.
Oh, maybe it's building in the background.
Mug speak stroke.
Maybe so.
They are going to remember tonight forever.
You are not going to remember tonight forever, though, are you, Dick Clark? You don't know where you are right now.
For the 40th time, let's count down. 17.
Oh, don't make him start at 17. Wow. Can't he come in at like 5? Come on.
15. 14. 13. 12. 11. 10, 9, 8.
And he's really having to hustle to try to keep up with the seconds.
You can hear the crowd is already ahead of him.
Yeah.
They're saying 8. He goes, 8.
And I'm so worried he's going to have some sort of a heart attack or another stroke because he's clearly overexerting himself here, but I think he makes it.
7, 6.
And then his wife comes in and he gums her and says, you know, and being the 40th anniversary, I swear, I really thought maybe he was hanging on to make 40 because there's some symbolism in that. You know, it's a nice even number. And I thought, honestly, he was going to announce, hey, it's been 40 years. It's been great. I love this show. I wish you all the best in the future, but this is going to be my last year. Nothing. They just,
Really?
As far as we know, this is how we're ringing in 2013, too.
Why don't they, you know, they could have Ryan count with him. They could have a whole group of people count, and he can count along.
That would be a great idea.
Come on.
There's a lot of things they could do, but ABC is lacking in dignity these days.
Oh, I think Dick Clark owns that show and makes the decision himself.
Maybe.
And somebody needs to step in and make a different one for him.
Our friend Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money radio show is going to be joining us in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about all things basketball. There was no NBA when we left, right?
There was none. Correct.
Yeah.
How weird is that?
Christmas
There's actually
Day,
basketball
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Crazy. Andrew Siciliano talking football, both pro and college. That's on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show, too. First, though, very sad news as we catch up on things we missed in the last couple of weeks while we've been gone here back on the Kevin and Bean Show for our first show for 2012. Kim Jong-il passed away. Now, I was shocked when that happened, A, because he was only 69 years old, but B, because I figured that they would pretend that he lived forever.
Yeah, just retired or whatever.
Because you rarely saw him in public anyway, so I figured even if he died, the rest of the world would never know about it. They would just continue to tell North Korean people, rather, that the dear leader was still alive and healthy.
I got a bunch of tweets saying, come back from vacation. Kim Jong-il died. We need to talk to him. We have to hook that up.
Well, it is true. We do need to talk to him. And this has been a call that has been a long time coming. I guess we're dialing up the hotline to hell to find out what the dear leader, the supreme one, is up to since he passed at age 69. Hello.
Hey, Rondi, how you go?
Hey, Kim Jong-il.
Hey, where you guys been? I wait for a phone call. You wait so long.
Well, we were on vacation.
Why, you don't love me no more?
No, it's not that. We wanted to call.
Round eye pig dog white man?
No, but we only have the hotline to hell at work, and we were off. We weren't working until today. But
I see now you not work.
Right.
Right.
Lazy
right,
pig dog American.
That's true. That's probably true.
So, big surprise to me when I found out that you had passed away. I figured that, as I was telling the guys, I figured that you were one of those people we were just going to never be told when you actually died.
Yeah, I was surprised, too, to die.
Yeah.
It caught me by surprise.
Yeah, you weren't expecting it?
No, but the thing was, I worked to death.
Yeah, I saw that. The announcer on TV said that you, as she struggled to keep back the tears, said that you died of physical and mental overwork.
That's right.
Yeah, but that's not right.
I was so incredible physical,
so
incredible mental,
right,
that my body could no longer take the strain.
Right, but didn't you just have a heart attack?
No, I work to death.
I know that's what the
with mental work.
I know.
And physical work.
What's the mental work that you do as the dear leader?
Well, first of all, I always hit hole-in-one when I play golf.
Right, I've heard that. Yeah.
That's very, very physical taxing.
I'll bet,
The report was, the official word from the government was that the first time you ever played golf, you shot 38 under par and had 5 holes in one.
That's
your
right.
first time ever playing golf, and you're standing
and
by
better.
That.
I got better.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you'd hope to.
Even though you're now dead, you're still going to stick to that story.
Yes, I am a physical, mental overwork because I am so amazing.
Right.
I was an MMA fighter,
of course.
I was a heavyweight champion MMA.
See, here's the thing.
I knocked Brock Lesnar out of the game.
That
he no longer even fight no more.
That was he did retire.
Yes,
over
he
the
did. Thanks to Imperial Leader, me.
That was not you.
I think it was me.
That was not you.
I would remember.
It was not you. I remember his name, but it was Osnir or Osmir or something like that.
Or Kim Jong-il.
It wasn't Kim Jong-il.
You're actually dead, so it definitely was you. All right,
I hosted a New Year's Rocking Eve.
You
that
didn't?
Was exhausting.
That was hard for me
counting down with all the American people in Times Square.
See,
no, it was someone that sounded worse than you, Kim Jong-il.
I find it hard to believe.
Kim Jong-il is used to being able to just put out whatever reports he wants and everybody has to believe. According to the report here, your people were engulfed in indescribable sadness.
They were engulfed.
I saw it. They were all crying.
Weren't they golfed?
Yes.
Yes.
They were.
Everybody golfed.
It was really amazing.
Now, which one of your retarded kids takes over now?
How dare you?
I'm saying your kids are losers, though, right?
Un is taking over.
Un.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a good one. He's my favorite of all the Kim Jongs.
You're not really supposed to pick a favorite.
No, but he's my favorite. That's okay. Why he go next.
Okay. All
he was educated in Switzerland.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, right. He used to bring me such good chocolate.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's why I made him the next one in line. Because I love those Linz truffles.
Right.
The Linz, is it what they call Linz?
I don't know.
Linz, mints? What? I like chocolate.
Chocolate mint?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's how you pick a leader. Is it true this might be a good time for a deathbed confession here? Is it true that you will finally admit you did not invent the hamburger, as you once explained to your people?
That was me.
You invented the hamburger.
I did.
Even in hell, you're sticking to that story?
I said, I want some meat between my buns. And they gave me hamburger.
That does sound like hell.
What's that?
I got a lot of time now in hell, so I'm learning a musical instrument.
Okay.
See that? I play accordion now.
Wow, who knew?
Okay.
Isn't it pretty?
What's happening? Yeah, it's
really not very pretty, no.
Oh, I am good at accordion.
You're not good at accordion.
I had so much time I had to learn musical instruments. I'm taking it to spend a while down here.
Okay. All right. So what?
It's funny. In hell, the only instrument they offer is accordion.
But wait. You don't get your pick?
Nope, just accordion.
Huh. All right. And you're terrible at it.
Lady of Spain, I adore you.
All right. We're going to let you get back to that.
Lady of Spain, oh, you are mine.
Okay.
That is
this time we won't be talking to you for a while.
I invented the Orange Julius.
You didn't invent it.
Hey, party people, welcome in to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Tuesday. By the way, we're talking about Dick Clark, his show, and then Carson Daly had his show. PBS, Kevin, your favorite channel, had Coldplay live in concert from Austin, Texas for New Year's Eve. And let me tell you something, those guys are awesome.
Yeah, but the announcer was like,
and now it's time to go see some new
music. No, you're thinking of NPR radio. This is PBS. This is Austin City Limits, which is a great show. And the reason I bring up Coldplay is because they are on the road throughout 2012. Destination number one of the K-Rock World Tour 2012 is Coldplay in Madrid, Spain. How does that sound?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Listen all this week, every hour on the hour, starting at 9 a.m. all the way through 5 p.m. You can score tickets to see Coldplay. As you know, they're coming to the Hollywood Bowl May 1st or 2nd, so you get that. That's the qualifying prize. It's tickets to go see them at the Hollywood Bowl. Like, that's not awesome enough. And then Monday, we make a phone call to change someone's life and send them to Spain to see Coldplay in Madrid. Again, that's destination number one of the K-Rock World Tour 2012. Details at krock.com.
So I'm at the movies over the holidays, and I'm watching The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And I come out, and I bump right into Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
No kidding!
Wow.
Now he's
pretty hard for him to go incognito.
Yeah, he's not a guy that can just put on a baseball hat and you go, sure don't know who that is. 7'2". I mean, you're literally looking at his knees.
Yeah.
And having been a longtime Laker fan, I was like, oh my God, that's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
So what do you do?
And my wife was like, yeah. Right? And I don't know if you guys remember my story about Magic Johnson, but I did bump into Magic Johnson one time. And I was not exactly as eloquent as I would have hoped.
Well, look. And by the way, the K-Rock microphones were there. I have the tape of you meeting Magic Johnson. But look, here's the thing. You're completely caught by surprise when you run into a celebrity, first of all. And second of all, if it's somebody like with the gentleman that you're describing that you've looked up to your entire lives, you don't have any idea what to say. There's no way in a brief interaction that you're going to have with that celebrity in that moment, out of context, without having a chance to prepare, that you're going to say something that sums up what it is you want to say to this person in your one chance.
Right, but he's too important to me to just let go. So I got to do something.
You got
to
say something. Mm-hmm.
When you met Magic Johnson, you told us the story on the air, and you knew you had to say something to him because he was your boyhood hero, right?
Right, right, right.
And you walked up to him, and here's how that went.
I just wanted, you're great. That's what I said. You know, you don't know what to say. There's no way to summarize or anything. So that's what came out of my mouth. So then I thought, wow, this is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. This is awesome. So
and did you remember what happened with Magic Johnson?
Are you kidding?
I have a do-over. Finally,
of course.
another Laker legend. I can redeem myself.
So I thought about it. He was coming out of the theater that I was in. He was watching the same movie. He was coming out of the theater that I was in. And I was thinking,
So you got some common ground, something to talk to him about.
Right. But then I panicked and I didn't say anything. So then he walked by and my wife's like, what's going on? I said, that's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. She said, I know. And I said, but I need to say something.
So then there's three sets of escalators, and I was now stalking him. Like, I would go down to the bottom of the escalator first and wait for him to come down.
Oh, my God.
And then I was going to try and say something, and then I would panic and not say anything. And so then he would walk around to the next escalator down, and I would try to beat him down there, and then I would wait for him down there. And I was planning the whole time, what should I say? What should I say? This creep of Abdul-Jabbar.
Explain why you have to say something. Because some people would go, hey, that's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and then they would just go about their day. They would be cool that they saw him, but they don't actually have to interact. Why did you want to talk to him?
Lifelong Laker fan. Uh-huh. You know, how many opportunities do you get? This is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And I'm not the kind of person that generally wants to get my picture taken with celebrities. I'm lucky enough in this weird, crazy job to meet a lot of celebrities.
Right.
But this particular celebrity is not one I've run into before, and I, you know, needed.
Okay.
So I thought, well, I'll just get a picture. That way I don't have to say anything. I'll just ask him if I can get a picture. That'd be cool. So I gave my wife my phone, and I said, here's how you do. You push the button. Blah, blah, blah. She goes, whoa, slow down. Slow down. What do I do? I said, just push this button right here. Don't screw it up. This is very important. So then he came down the last escalator, and I said, hey, Kareem, would you mind taking a picture with me? And he said, what? Because he didn't hear. I don't think he could even make out a word. What? And he was just with like two or three people. It was no big deal. And I said, would you mind taking a picture with me? And he said, I don't do that. Here you go. Now, having said that, he wasn't being as rude as it sounds.
What does here you go mean?
He handed me a trading card that had his autograph on it.
Oh,
because a guy like him, you know what I mean? He would be there all day
everywhere he goes.
So right. I don't blame him for doing that. But so now I do have an autographed trading card.
How much?
From my interaction with him.
How much?
So then I told my wife, I was like, you snap pictures, right? She's like, no. He said no. And I said, who cares? Take pictures.
Oh, God.
So I have no pictures, and I have a trading card with his autograph. But I still put it up right next to my Magic Johnson basketball.
Excellent.
Come on, people.
Excellent.
So that was my...
Well done.
So now I have, hey, I love, long fan, you. And then I have, would you mind taking a picture? So I got both of those going.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, Bean. Hey, Kevin and Bean.
Why not?
It's America.
This is America. I never do this, Kevin, but I bought another man jewelry for Christmas, and wow. It was my friend Ralph Garman. We're practically engaged right now, aren't we, Ralph?
Kevin? You see the ring?
He did buy me a ring.
He did?
He bought me a ring.
What?
He bought me a ring.
I was kidding.
What, are you deaf?
I put a ring on it.
He likes it.
What ring?
Green Lantern ring.
Oh,
yeah.
That's pretty good.
And it's got all the powers of Green Lantern as well.
No, it doesn't.
So I was going around fighting crime all during the holidays.
Yeah, right? Well, so tired.
Making giant concepts with my emerald light that would come from my ring that was powered by the secret battery from
you did a lot of
the
drinking,
planet Oa.
A lot of drinking.
Yeah, I did a lot of drinking.
I was so pleased to find that. And then I thought, if I press purchase on this, I am buying jewelry for another man. Is that something I really want to go to my grave with? But yeah. I went ahead and did it.
And I got a twofer this year from Bean because he was a little behind on my birthday present as well.
Right.
So they all came in one box. So I had the Green Lantern ring for Christmas. And for my birthday, he got me the coolest thing ever, which I meant to bring into the show today, and I forgot. So I'm going to bring it in tomorrow.
Okay.
So maybe I'll just bring it in instead of talking about it. No, I'll tell you what it is. It's a hockey goal light. A
yes!
hockey goal light that you can put anywhere. It has a remote control, and you hit it, and it goes,
that's
the red light goes around as if someone scored a goal.
I love that.
So I'm going to keep it in the office. When someone says really stupid, I'm going to go, and I'll be like, oh, you shot the goal.
Can you add
the
song
net
that they play when the Flyers score?
I think I'll have to.
That'd be so great.
Yeah, so it was very cool. Thank you, Bean.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did very much.
Bean's Christmas gift is still on my chair. Okay, back to you.
Still on your chair?
Yeah, I forgot to send it.
On your chair.
Well, maybe it's on my chair at home.
Yeah. Kevin also gave me a very, very generous gift that I either was I promptly lost or was stolen from my house over
what?
The holidays.
Oh, yeah. Wait. I paid for it, though.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, that does suck.
Yeah, it does.
I thought I didn't have to pay for it.
You did. He got me a very generous gift certificate for Amazon, which is enormously useful because I do almost all my shopping there now. And we had a ton of strangers in the house that same day.
Right.
And... I like to think that I lost it and it wasn't stolen.
Yeah, I know you do.
I hope so. I hope someone who was in your home didn't walk off with it.
And maybe it will.
Yeah.
but it's gone.
Merry Christmas, whoever has that.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And my wife is certain that I lost it. I, due to, you know, ego, prefer to think that someone stole it. But it is, we've been looking for it all during the holidays, and I cannot find it. And there's nothing worse. And you just feel like an ass.
And you fear you may have thrown it away with the other Christmas cards, probably.
Trust
right?
me, there was a lot of dumpster diving going on for days afterwards while I was just tearing apart bags. And I just felt bad because Kevin did pay for it. And so either someone's going to use it or it's never going to be used. Worst case scenario, right?
Right.
So, yeah, that was that.
I'm going to go through your trash today, see if I can get it back and not tell you.
You should. All right, let's take a look at the big box office for the holiday weekend, the four-day holiday weekend. I didn't know, first of all, I was surprised, much to my pleasure, when Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer, told us that we were off on Monday. Yeah. I did not know that.
Because Sunday was the holiday.
Ooh, I scored. I get an extra day off. Everybody was off on Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't get that.
Anytime Sunday's an official holiday, they give you Monday. And anytime it's Saturday, they give you Friday.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a four-day weekend this weekend. Here's how much money the big movies made at the box office. Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, still number one at the box office now, has been for weeks. $38.3 million made it number one. Sherlock Holmes, Game of Shadows, $26.5 million. Anybody see Sherlock Holmes?
I did. I loved it.
I did, too.
I haven't seen it yet.
I did not love it.
I've heard it's better than the first one.
I loved it.
I really enjoyed the first one.
And his style of directing is so cool and different than everybody else.
Yeah, Guy Ritchie does good work.
I really loved it.
Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked,
nope.
$21 million. They're chipwrecked. They're little chipmunks and they get chipwrecked.
Nope.
How does Jason Lee sleep at night?
I don't know.
That's all I want to know.
Paychecks?
I guess you sleep on a bed of money. War Horse. Oh, that horse goes to effing war,
does it go to
people.
War?
It goes to war.
Shoot weapons?
War Horse. 19.2 million dollars made it number four. Girl with a Dragon Tattoo is fifth. We Bought a Zoo, Adventures of Tintin, New Year's Eve, The Darkest Hour, and Descendants rounding out the top 10 at the box office.
I saw The Darkest Hour, and it was the darkest hour and a half of my life.
What is The Darkest Hour?
It's terrible. It's a bunch of Americans go to Moscow to party, and then the aliens attack.
Oh, that's one where they get shocked with some ray and they disintegrate?
Uh-huh.
That looked cool.
It did look cool.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Oh, okay.
It was horrible.
All right, I won't do that then.
What a crappy movie that was.
Yeah.
How many movies did you see over the holidays, Kevin?
All. Did you see your family at all, Kevin?
All. I spent the whole time with my... we didn't go anywhere except to Phoenix for a couple of days, so right. I spent the whole time with my family and then we'd go to movies a lot.
Well, pretty cool.
That one, I would like to take back.
Would you like to take that back?
Oh, my God, that's bad.
It is on like Donkey Kong between Angelina Jolie and Madonna.
All right.
Apparently, Madonna feels slighted. Because Angelina Jolie does not believe Madonna has anything to say when it comes to filmmaking.
Well, I'd say that's accurate.
You know, she directed that movie W.E.
Mm-hmm.
That everyone's saying blows.
Yeah, by all accounts, it's one of the worst films of the year.
And Madonna contacted Angelina and said that she wanted to have lunch so they could talk about filmmaking. But Angelina turned her down and said that Madonna really doesn't have any talent for filmmaking. There's not much of a conversation to be had there. And now Madonna's furious.
Knowing what we know about Angelina Jolie, wouldn't you be willing to bet she didn't say that? I bet she turned her down for that reason, but I bet she didn't say that. I bet that's somebody putting words in her mouth based on the fact that the meeting didn't happen.
This is Star Magazine, Bean.
Well, I didn't realize she had that impeccable source.
She may not have said it
in post.
She may not have said it, but the words are correct.
Yes, it is definitely true.
Yeah, meanwhile, Angelina directed that Death Train to Serbia Town, whatever that's called.
Whatever that's called.
Apparently, it's getting rave reviews. It's the feel-good movie of the year, apparently, if you like, you know. War and rape and stuff.
Right.
Well, it's Bean's type.
It's Bean's kind of show. If it was just a postman who was getting raped, that would be perfect for
me. And dying.
Today's celebrity birthdays. New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning, 31 years old today. I was so torn on Sunday. Who do you root for when it's Dallas versus the Giants for the NFC East Championship?
You just hope they all get hurt.
I was hoping for a meteor strike. That's I found myself rooting for, and that didn't happen.
It's hard to root for either. Yeah. But I would root for, I know you're an Eagles fan, so that makes a big difference. I would root for the Giants over the Dallas Cowboys any day.
Oh, I ended up feeling the same way, because as an Eagles fan, you hate them both, but right. You do hate Dallas more.
Right.
And it's just something about watching Jerry Jones's sad plastic surgeried face in the box when they lose. It just makes me filled with glee.
I love that.
So that was enjoyable. Danica McKellar is 37 years old today. Did I mention Eli Manning's birthday today? I mean, did I mention?
Eli Manning,
yeah,
yes.
Eli Manning, mm-hmm. 31 years old. Danica McKellar from Wonder Years is 37. Mel Gibson's 56. And John Paul Jones of Led Zeppelin fame is 66 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Tuesday, the 3rd of January, 2012. You're listening to an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Happy New Year. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Basketball returned while we were gone. Christmas Day, it kicked off with a big triple header. Our friend Matt Money Smith knows all things NBA from the Petros Money Radio Show. How are you, Money? Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Happy New Year to you, guys. Bean, for a gift for $50, motherfucker.
I do still owe money, my baseball money. Yet I'm out of ways to send it to him. Well, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, I think that doesn't matter. Send him the money.
Just have to send the cash out. Yeah. But you got your Christmas gift though, so you're cool.
Thank you, bro.
Bonnie, some time.
Hey, money. Right, money. We're going to hang up and call right back, okay? Because we can hear about every fourth word. Seriously.
Okay. No problem.
Okay. Bye. All right.
No. Down no back. Possible. Beer mud.
So you always have the exact same bet, which is the Angels and the Mariners, and you lose
every single year. That's right. Yeah, and I owe money every single year, but I've run out of creative ways to pay it now that I've already paid it in pesos and Canadian dollars and food stamps and pennies and quarters and $2 bills mailed individually. So I'll come up with something. I'll send it to them. I'm not trying to get out of the bet. All right, let's try money again. We can talk some basketball. You back?
Would love to. Not on yet.
Okay. I forgot we got beer mug dialing. Yeah.
King of Mexico's trying to get a hold of him, actually. We want to talk Lakers. We want to talk about Clippers. Mm-hmm. Hard to believe. All right, now we have him back. Hey, Money.
Hey.
I think that's better, yes.
Okay.
Hey, Money, since we went away on vacation, the Bryants broke up. What's the deal on that? Is it as simple as it appeared on TMZ, which is just, hey, I got caught cheating one too many times?
I think so. I mean, there's some people that figure the timing is perfect for Vanessa, you know, the old California 10 years and you have alimony for life. Not that the settlement of half of what Kobe is worth, some project somewhere between $300 and $400 million isn't enough. But on top of all that, he's going to have to scratch out a check for every single month for the rest of her life. So maybe that's why she's kidding for 10 years.
You know, what's funny is that for the rest of us, you know, you get caught cheating, that might be the end of the relationship. This particular headline was, Kobe cheated too much. Like, a certain amount, like a decent amount is fine.
Basketball players get a pass to a point.
But this is too much.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I signed up to be an NBA wife, but this is just, come on, right. Really.
Now you're rubbing my face in it. So the reason I bring it up is, A, it's pretty funny, but B, what does that do to Kobe the player? Is he a guy who can compartmentalize, or is that something that's going to bum him out for the whole season?
Yeah, you know, he by all means can compartmentalize.
Yeah, when that trial was going on, he was flying back and forth, scoring 30 points, and then flying back.
Yeah,
exactly. They went to the NBA Finals that year. Yeah. So he was compartmentalizing a rape trial in Eagle, Colorado.
All right. Speaking of Kobe, what's up with his wrist? It was funny that he became the sixth leading scorer in the NBA, you know, in history, and had a horrible game at the exact same time.
Yeah, he fights through pain better than anyone. We've said it his whole career, but you know what? It's warranted. He really does. He has the ability to block out whatever it is that is ailing him and play basketball for 48 minutes. He's done it his whole career. I anticipate he'll do it this year. You know, the one concern is that he's no longer 23. You know, I mean, he's been in the league for 16 years.
Wow.
I mean, it is remarkable to think that that's how long it's been. He will pass both Shaquille O'Neal and Michael Jordan in career minutes played this season.
Wow.
That is how long he's played basketball.
Now, what happened to his wrist, and can he, I mean, even though it's mentally, you know, he could do it, can he physically do it?
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to think he can. The one problem, of course, is that Kobe has turned into a shooter. You know, he is less attack, less ball handler, more get me the ball in space and let me shoot mid-range jumpers. And he's very effective at that. You know, he's probably the best 15 to 18 foot shooter in the game. Now you can talk about pure shooters like Ray Allen. Those are guys that need to be open,
right.
Need to be in their spot. Kobe can do it anywhere on the floor. So because that's his game now at this age and this point of his career, sure, any injury to the hand or the wrist that's going to affect that shooting motion is going to be of concern. But he'll figure out a way to get through it. I mean, if he were to sit games out, they said it'd probably be about a 3-week injury. So because he's not willing to do that, it's maybe a 5-6 weeks he'll have to deal with it.
Oh, I see. Good. I thought maybe it was either like corrective surgery, which might take forever, or nothing.
No, no, okay, I don't get the sense. I hate projecting injuries because sure. they tell you so little. You really don't know what the MRI shows. But my understanding is it's something he can play through. It's not going to be pleasant for the next, you know, for the first, I don't know, third of the season, which is funny to think that 6 weeks is a third of the season. But
yeah.
It's
yeah.
kind of reality in this year.
One more Laker question, and that is, are we going to get Dwight Howard?
Well, if Andrew Bynum continues to play this way and does not get hurt, and look, we know he can play this way. We've seen it. He is, without question, the second-best center in the league behind Dwight Howard if he's healthy. He's got soft hands. He's got great footwork. He's comfortable around the basket. He blocks shots. He rebounds. But he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, that's because, my problem, is he scares me because he's never healthy.
Right, and there are some that believe he's just predisposed to injury, the way he's built. He's kind of knock-kneed. And when he's 7'1", go ahead.
Do you think we'll go after Dwight Howard?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. They want him. They desperately want him. It's just a question of what do they have to give up to get him. I think Orlando, come March at the trade deadline, would accept a package of both Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum. I don't think the Lakers want to give that up. I think
that's
they
a
prefer
lot.
To give up Andrew, to use their trade exception, which is what they got back in that Lamar trade. They didn't get nothing. They got $8.2 million to spend. So what they could then do is send that to Orlando for Hedo Turkoglu, his contract, which is undesirable, and maybe build it in that sort of fashion.
This is the voice of our friend Matt Money Smith here on the Kevin DeBean Show from the Petros and Money radio show, airing weekday afternoons in L.A. on AM 570. I know we're only 4 to 6 games in, depending on which team you're following, Money, and it's probably too early to draw any conclusions. But the names at the top of the NBA standings in every division are exactly the names you expect to see. Have we seen enough to kind of get an idea of how this shortened season is going to play out?
Not really, because, you know, people think that the shortened season, that you know, the casual fan thinks it'll benefit the older teams because they won't have to play as many games.
Right.
It's the exact opposite. The games are played, they're compacted, so they're playing an average of nearly 5 games per week as opposed to 4 games per week, which is what they would do in an 82-game season, which is going to wear on your older players, and they're going to get beat up more. So until we get halfway through the season, 3/4 of the way through the season, and we see how it's affecting teams like the Lakers, like the Mavericks, the Spurs, you know, your older teams, I don't think we really know what kind of effect it's going to have. Now, depth is going to play a big role. It's one of the reasons why, you know, on the Petros and Money show before we left, I said the Nuggets are a team to watch because they're the deepest team in the league. I like that team a lot. I like watching the Timberwolves now. They have this kid, Ricky Rubio, who came over from Spain. He's a lot of fun. So there's a lot of young players that are exciting, and those kids are going to be able to deal with, you know, this type of schedule better than teams like, you know, the Lakers with Kobe and Powell and the Mavericks with Dirk and Jason Terry and Lamar Odom. Dude, they're old.
Why is everybody making such a big deal about Ron Paul going to the Clippers? That doesn't make any sense. He's a politician.
No, Kevin, you're confused. You can't play. Chris Paul, different guy. That's not the same thing. But this is going to be one of the first years that we've ever had this beginning of the season conversation with you, Matt, and we can't really ignore the Clippers. What do you think of the new look so far?
I do want to mention, though, Chris Paul, same politics as Ron Paul.
Is that right? Chris,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Chris Paul, libertarian, all the way out there. I love Chris Paul.
I'm a
huge fan. I thought the trade for the Lakers was exactly what they needed. It would inject life into an aging lineup, and it is, multiply that by 5 for what the Clippers are, because they're a team that has guys that need help getting the ball to them. You know,
right.
Blake has not developed that 18-footer yet. DeAndre Jordan, he's been great defensively, but he's really just a dunker. He doesn't have any low post moves. So when you add a player that gets, you know, his teammates the ball where they need it in order to be the most effective, that is ideal.
I was watching a Clipper game over the holiday, and I heard beat LA, beat LA. And the announcer said, that's probably the first time the Clippers have ever heard that chant.
And Chauncey Billups is just a question mark. When he's on, he's on. When he's not, he's hurt. He's off. He's a mystery, right?
He's old, but he's great. I'm a big Billups fan. I mean, you're talking about, here's the thing about what the Clippers did. You know, they added a perennial MVP candidate in Chris Paul. They added a 2004 Finals MVP in Chauncey Billups, and they added Caron Butler, a guy that was on the Mavericks last year. So you over the course of one off season, basically built a veteran foundation for these young guys, you know, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, to lean on in order to get to the next level. Now, whether or not they can do that because they have no depth They are desperate for more bigs, but then they have a gluttony of point guards. So they have to make some moves. They have to tweak that roster in order to be a top four team. But there are tweaks that can be made. They have enough talent where they can move some pieces, build up some depth where they need it, and that's going to be a. I mean, look, it's a fun team to watch.
I agree.
And it could end up being an NBA championship contender if they make a couple moves. It is not as currently constructed.
Let's say
though.
They stay healthy. You think they make the playoffs? No question, right?
Oh, no question. Okay. Oh, that's a top five team.
Yeah,
and that is
so
a top five team in the West.
And I think it's exciting with the way the schedule's working out, because I think the playoffs start in, 2 weeks, right, Matt?
Well, they start 2 weeks, but they last 6 months.
Exactly right. The Petras and Money Radio Show, weekday afternoons all across this great land of ours. Please check them out locally on AM 570 Money. You are the best, man. Happy New Year. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
$50, you bastard.
Hey, party people, Happy New Year to you from the Kevin and Bean Show. Speaking of New Year's, does anyone make resolutions anymore? Is that a thing that people do? I sure don't. I've given up on improving myself.
I think it's a thing some people do, but I sure don't put much stock in it either.
I try to do the same things every year and fail every year.
Yeah, so why do it, right?
I don't know.
My only resolution was to get tear gas one time more than last year. That's it.
But Lisa, the type of things that you're talking about are the type of things that everybody in the back of their mind says, well, I should eat better or I should work out more.
Whatever
it is. But do you put any special emphasis on it at the end of December or the beginning of January every year, as opposed to thinking of it in, June or September?
Well, I do, but I think it's only because the holidays make doing all that stuff harder to do.
Right.
You know, because you're traveling and you're visiting people and you're eating a lot of crap.
That's why I make my New Year's resolution in April.
I think that's wise.
That is a good idea.
Yeah. Well, every year on our first show back after the Christmas and New Year's break, we love to take telephone calls from people who have made New Year's resolutions that they are adamant about. They have decided 2012, man, this is the year I'm turning it all around. This is the year I'm going to make that change that I need to make. And then 3 minutes in, 8 minutes in, 12 hours in, whatever it is, resolution's already out the window. And what I love about those people, by the way, is, and oftentimes we hear this story, and we want you to call us at 1-800-520-1067. What I love is, well, I said I wasn't going to eat fast food anymore, but since I did on January 2nd, it's out the window now. I'm just going to go ahead. I might as well just eat it and start again next year. I mean, the whole year is shot if they blow the resolution in the first 2 days as far as they're concerned, which I love.
The calls that we're looking for, the fastest broken New Year's resolutions, but I just want to make this caveat. I just want to say, look, these are for people who were serious.
Yeah.
This is important. I'm making this decision. It's a life change. It's not just like we were saying, oh, I like to get in better shape. You really meant it. And then the shortest amount of time before you're broken. That's what we're looking for.
We got an email from Kevin Bean listener Ryan who says he resolved to quit smoking, which was a bad idea on New Year's Eve when you're at a party and you're drunk and you're standing around outside with a bunch of other smokers. He said it took him 3 minutes. 3 minutes he lit up after the time he said he was not going to smoke anymore in 2012. I was really surprised. I found this list online of the most popular New Year's resolutions for 2011. Now, this is from a website I don't know called Visual. But number one surprised me. Wouldn't you imagine number one would be lose weight?
Yes,
of course.
I would think that would be the number one resolution.
Or get in better shape or whatever, yeah.
Right. Get fit is number four on their list.
What?
Lose weight is number five on their list. Number two and three are get a better education and get a better job, according to this list of top 10.
Or get a job.
Yeah, that's all about what's going on in the economy now.
Yeah, you could be right about that.
Neither of those are number one.
No, get a better education was two, get a better job was three, then get fit, then lose weight. Start thinking about what you think number one could be. Manage debt or save money, number six. Reduce stress, number seven. Quit smoking, number eight.
What could number one be?
Take a vacation, number nine. And volunteer to help others, number 10.
I'm surprised I made the top 10.
Who's volunteering to help others on New Year's, by the way? Number one, according to this list on Visual, is to drink less alcohol.
Oh, sure.
Drink less alcohol is what they're looking for.
But this is the I'm hanging out in the bathroom on January 1st at 4 a.m. and I'm saying I'm never going to drink again? Or this is really I need to cut back on alcohol for the year?
Well, who knows?
That's
who knows?
I mean,
this is
that.
Just their list of top. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the wrong time to make a New Year's resolution is in the situation Kevin described, where it's 4 a.m. at a New Year's Eve party. That's not when you need to start making life changes.
It's not a real one either. A real one, I imagine you plan.
You've thought about it. You've decided when you're going to do it. You have a strategy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't do any
All
of
right.
that.
Let's talk to Lisa real quick. She's on line three. She'll get us going here, and then we'll take your calls, too. 1-800-520-1067. What was your New Year's resolution that you were, in fact, resolute about? It was going to be a change for 2012. How long did it last, and what happens now? Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're our first caller for 2012. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
My New Year's resolution was to stop drinking soda.
Stop drinking soda, okay.
I had planned on it since, you know, the beginning of December. I'm like, okay, next year you gotta stop, you know, get in shape, whatever.
6 months you planned that?
No, since December.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you said summer. Okay.
I did too.
Yeah. All right. So, we're going to my in-law's house for New Year's Day, and, you know, the whole way there, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna drink water, not drink soda, and the first thing I do, open a can of soda.
Yeah.
All right. Now, how did you make that decision, knowing what you had thought and planned in your head for a month, when it came time to open up the soda? Why couldn't you avoid that first one?
I think mostly it's just because the pressure of being at the in-law's house, and I don't want to say, I want something else.
Really? It's peer pressure?
Yeah.
To drink soda?
You want some Coke? Yeah. No. This is embarrassing, but I'd like to cut down.
Water, juice, no other options? It was soda or dirt, huh?
That's pretty much what I saw. I didn't see anything else. So
okay. All right. Well, you fail. Are you gonna go back to it and try again with the resolution, or is it shot for the year now?
Well, I tried again yesterday and drank soda at lunch yesterday, so I'm going to try again today and see if it sticks.
Hey, okay.
Hey,
Lisa?
Yes.
Yeah, give it up.
I'm not feeling good about this.
Probably. I don't think it's going to work.
Give it up. Thank you. All right. Your call is 1-800-520-1067. You were serious. You made a New Year's resolution, and you broke it already. Please give us.
Andrew Siciliano joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show to catch up with the NFL playoff picture. By the way, December 24th, very sad day on the Kevin and Bean Show as Ralph's Eagles, Kevin's Cardinals, and my Seahawks all eliminated for the playoffs in the same day on Christmas Eve.
So. But none of which were surprises.
No, not at all. We all saw that one coming. Yeah. Right now we're talking about New Year's resolutions broken already. Here we are on January 3rd. They're already down the drain. You swore you were going to do it all year long for 2012. You've already broken the cycle. Listen to this. Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins from John. I resolved not to listen to you two clowns anymore in 2012, but here I am back for another year of pain. So there's a perfect example of a guy who thought he was going to improve his life, and already he has found himself not.
I'll tell you what we don't have that we would like, and I'm sure there are thousands of people out there with this one, which is I am never in the next year, I'm never going to sleep with fill in the blank again.
Oh, yeah.
Always happens, never works.
Yeah. And people in their life that they know they should get rid of.
Yep.
It's an unhealthy relationship. You're just having sex and it has nothing but bad complications as a result of it. You're not going to do it. Oh, wait, hold on. I'm horny.
Now, here's another one that's kind of dumb because, let's face it, it's just not going to work. Dave is calling. Hi, Dave.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good.
Marissa May, Happy New Year. Huh?
Thank you, Dave.
Now, Dave, you thought long and hard about your life. What did you think was happening, and what did you think would make it better? What was your New Year's resolution?
My New Year's resolution was to quit smoking pot. I've done everything, alcohol and all that stuff. I quit everything. I lost 100 pounds and everything, so I figured this would be the last one. And at 12:01, I lit up a blunt and smoked it.
Yeah! 1 minute!
What was it about smoking pot? Because it sounds like your life's on the right track and you got good willpower, but what was it about smoking pot that you thought was becoming a negative for you in your life?
I have no idea. I just thought that, you know, it's a bad habit. People say, oh, that's not right. But in my world, it keeps me from hurting people, so I think it's a beneficial if I...
I do too, Dave.
Well,
you keep smoking.
If that's the case, smoke away.
Smoke them if you got them.
The hell?
That's it.
Keeps me from hurting people.
Yeah.
I love 1 minute in. So what was it like on New Year's as you realized that the clock was ticking and it's, you know, it's 7 p.m. and you're thinking, oh, I've only got 5 more hours to smoke out and then I'm going to quit and then it's 9 and then it's 11. I mean, did you smoke a lot leading up to midnight in anticipation that you weren't going to do it anymore once January started?
No, what happened is I actually quit that day. Okay, I figured, you know what, I'm not going to smoke all New Year's Eve. I want to bring in the new year the right way. So by 12 o'clock, I'm like,
chopping at my gums thinking, man, I really like this smoking joint.
Yeah. Yeah. So now, wait. Now, let me ask you a follow-up question. So now that it's been, you know, 1 minute after midnight and you smoked the joint, New Year's resolution out the window?
Oh, definitely. I need to do something in life. We got to have some kind of, you know, us human beings have to have some way of dealing with stress sometimes.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, that if you cut everything out, you're just gonna fall back into it anyway. So you got to keep something going.
This is for you, Dave.
Now everybody gather around and listen if you would. When I tell you every person needs a way of feeling good. Every kitty needs a ball of string and every dog a stick. But all you need is a bag of weed to really get a kick. Yeah. One, two, three, oh! A bag of weed, oh, everything is better with a bag of weed. No, you don't need nothing, you don't need speed, because everything is better with a bag of weed.
There you go. All right.
Thank you, Dave. Let's try Emerald real quick. Emerald is on line two, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Is that really your name, or is that your stripper name?
Nope, that's really my name. I've been asked that quite, like, yeah. Every time I introduce myself to someone, hey, what's your real name, stripper? I'm like, oh, thanks,
Ash. But did you ever, they're not being an ass, that is a stripper name. Did you ever ask your parents, why did you give me a stripper name?
Well, I was almost named Esther, so I kind of am really happy that they decided on Emerald.
Between those two.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Emerald, we're talking about New Year's resolutions. You made them with full intention of keeping them throughout 2012, but then it already fell apart. What happened?
It's typical, the diet. So I was going to wean myself into it with the giving up sweets because I'm getting married in October.
Right.
And I want to fit into the dress. So
wow, you're starting early.
You need to.
Getting married in October.
Yeah, you have to.
Okay.
It's hard. So I go to my mom's and dad's house yesterday, and my mom's making chocolate chip cupcakes. So she's like, oh, you have to have it.
Of course.
So I have one, and I'm screwed. And then she sends me home with a plate of them. So I've got one right next to me for breakfast right now.
Emerald.
Fantastic.
I don't know why people never listen to me, but this is good advice I'm about to give you. Fatten up. Eat a bunch of chocolate. Look terrible in your wedding picture. And then you put out your wedding picture, and for the rest of your life, people go, hey, you look great. You really look good. Emerald, you look great.
Kevin is absolutely right. Yeah. Think about it, because otherwise you're going to be held to a standard of perfection in that wedding photo for the rest of your life. Kevin is right. You go the other way, and then for years you look fantastic.
So true.
All right.
I will tell my fiance that.
Have a muffin. Look, tell him you're happy to lose the weight after you're married, okay? Once the wedding pictures are taken.
There you go.
All right. Congratulations. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Now we have a lot more entertainment for you coming up, so don't call it that yet.
Thank you, Dick Clark.
Well said.
It is 2012 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are back. We are live. Ralph Garman joins us in studio now for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It's Tuesday, but we're still going to look at the top 10 movies at the box office because it was a four-day holiday weekend. Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, number one. Again, this week, $38.3 million.
Kevin, did you see that in IMAX or in regular?
I saw both. I saw it in IMAX first, though, and it's so great because the sound is so much louder.
Wait, and it's shot in IMAX, I think.
Yeah. You went to see Girl with a Dragon Tattoo twice, and you went to see Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol twice.
Yes, I love movies.
I understand that. But you know there are other ones, too, you can go to see.
I went to see a few others. But those were good.
Right.
So I liked them, so why not? Who was the brunette in Mission Impossible? She's a stunner.
Zoe Saldana.
No.
Oh, the other one.
No, it wasn't. The one of the team of...
That wasn't Zoe Saldana?
So good.
Oh,
no,
I assumed
not
it was.
Her.
Yeah, her name is Beatrice Alderaan.
Just guessing now. You have no idea.
I'm just making a name up.
Mugs, stop. Bean's looking. Don't even worry.
Everyone's scrambling. Everyone's scrambling to the intranet to try to find out the answer for you.
I heard
Michelle
she's...
Monaghan? No, that's Mission Impossible 3 you're looking at
way
there.
Yep.
Mugs, Mission Impossible 3 would not be what we're looking for. We're looking for Ghost Protocol.
Oh, her name is Simon Pegg, it says here.
No.
Simon Pegg was great.
All right. I'm quickly boring of this entire conversation.
Paula Patton.
Paula Patton is something.
Okay. Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, she looks like a pretty good deal.
What has she done otherwise? Let's take a look on the IMDb here and see what she's known for. Yeah. What happened to her face there?
Law and Order,
Special Victims Unit.
She was in Jumping the Broom.
She was the ADA in that. And she was in Precious. She was in Precious.
She was?
Yeah.
Oh.
She was Precious.
She was eaten by Precious early on in the first 20 minutes. You remember that scene where she ate that woman?
It was her.
I'm sorry to distract you.
No, this is good. This is a good use of all of our time. Yes. Paula Patton doesn't come on now. She never will. Speaking of spectacularly lovely actresses who I love and apparently who love me back.
Love you back?
I would like to thank Stana Katic for the lovely Christmas basket she sent to my home.
No kidding.
She's Castle?
She is Kate Beckett on Castle. Yes. You know, wow. One of my favorite TV shows, which is coming back this month.
Like
with all new episodes.
Flowers.
She didn't send you anything.
Well,
she sent me a basket of delicious chocolates and cookies and things. And she just said she listens to the show, fan. And she wanted a little thank you for the support on Castle. And and I appreciated that. And she,
what show is she?
She called me cute, by the way.
What show is she listening to? It's the Kevin and Bean show she's listening to, right?
Yeah, well.
I didn't see much Kevin or Bean chocolate, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well.
There's a lot wrong with that statement, but go ahead.
Maybe you need to take that information, Bean, and do a little soul searching. Maybe you need to look inward and say, huh, why would a listener not appreciate my work and yet appreciate Ralph's? Maybe you should just take a moment in this new year and reflect. Reflect on what that potentially could mean.
Yeah, I don't think Bean's capable of doing that.
I don't think he's capable of introspection either. But wow, we're just at number one on the top 10 list.
Right.
And it's already over. The report's already over.
No, we got nothing but time.
Sherlock Holmes, number two, Game of Shadows.
Now we're out.
Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked, was third. War Horse, and then The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, rounding out the top five. Followed up by We Bought a Zoo, The Adventures of Tintin, New Year's Eve, Darkest Hour, and The Descendants. Your top 10 at the box office this weekend. It is Tuesday. It means new DVDs and CDs and whatnot are in stores. If you still have some money left over from the holidays, probably not a lot, but here's what you can pick up. Looking for some new entertainment. Contagion is available on DVD and Blu-ray today. You can check that out with Matt Damon and Kate Winslet. You get to see Gwyneth Paltrow die a horrible death. I would say that is worth the cost of the DVD.
I never saw it. Is it worth it?
It's real well done.
It is, yeah. Okay.
It'll make you paranoid about touching doorknobs for the rest of your life, but pretty strong. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark with Katie Holmes, Guy Pearce, and Bruce Gleason. What? That was a movie? I Don't Know How She Does It, starring Sarah Jessica Parker.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't know how she does it either. And by that, I mean continue to star in movies.
I hope she talks to the screen a lot.
Mildred Pierce, the miniseries, now available on DVD with Kate Winslet, who gets very naked in it, as does Evan Rachel Wood.
All right.
And on TV, on DVD, Justified, complete second season, if you want to pick that up. Sad news, Bob Anderson is dead.
Who's Bob Anderson?
Or whoever you said.
Who's the guy you
just
said?
What could be an easier name to say than Bob Anderson, really?
Who's the guy you just said?
Who's Bob Anderson?
Where would we know him from?
You would know him as, nothing, just Darth Vader, that's all.
Oh, wow.
He apparently was lightsaber Darth Vader. All the scenes where Darth was handling the lightsaber. He was a legendary British Olympic swordsman who worked on many of history's best-known movies, and he was the man behind the mask with Darth Vader every time he wielded a lightsaber.
Bam Anderson.
When you took him on this, you took on Obi-Wan Kenobi or Luke, it was Anderson.
Bam Anderson.
No, Bob Anderson.
Bob.
Passed away at the age of 89 years old.
Sorry, that's a difficult name for me to say.
Bob Anderson? And our own Dick Clark here on the show.
How old was he, Ralph? Did you say he was
89
89?
Years old, Bean. 89 years old.
He will Crazy. So he was a senior citizen. Even when he was in the Darth Vader suit, he was already in the 60s.
Yep, but he could swing a lightsaber, baby.
Yep. That's what they say about me.
Yeah, that's what they say about you.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Bassist John Paul Jones is 66 years old today. He, of course, of Led Zeppelin. Mel Gibson's 56. Denica McKellar from The Wonder Years played Winnie on that show. 37 years old. Eli Manning, quarterback for the New York Giants, is 31. And I did not know that until Bean gave me the heads up. And I was very angry that he didn't let me know earlier today. But our own producer, Dave, the King of Mexico, celebrates his birthday today. I said, Dave, why didn't you tell me? Oh, I don't like the birthday love.
He doesn't like birthday love?
Doesn't like birthday love. Hmm. So I said, well, now you're going to get it dumped on you all day long. Especially now that I know you don't like it. Happy birthday, Dave.
Yay! Happy birthday to you.
Send him emails. Send him emails and let him know.
I don't like the birthday love. Unless he's fingerless gloves, you get me. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Andrew Siciliano, ladies and gentlemen, from the DirecTV Red Zone and, of course, NFL Total Access, Monday through Thursdays on the NFL Network. Andrew, welcome.
Good
Happy
morning.
New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year to you.
We were just saying the thing that you hear everywhere you go now that the regular season is over is, man, we're going to miss you on Sundays on the Red Zone. It must be so weird for you to sit at home and just watch one game at a time in the playoffs.
It is weird, but I enjoy sitting on the couch with my friends.
Yeah, can you imagine sitting in a room with him, though? He's like doing play-by-play.
No, I'm not that guy. I'm the guy that shuts up and sometimes even falls asleep because one game bores me. And in the playoffs, all the games, they're consecutive. None of them overlap.
At the same time.
So right. I need... I'm joking.
But you partly. Wake up for the Browns when they play in the playoffs.
Right, which hasn't happened in nearly 10 years.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes. Or your Cardinals, Mazel Tov.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, or the playing. Seahawks.
Oh, but they're...
Or the Eagles. Oh, yeah, okay. This is a all real right. playoff happy room right now.
Yeah, we got a lot to be
thankful for. Or the
Raiders. Well, it's it was very exciting, by the way. And, of course, following Andrew on Twitter, I learned so much about what's going on, you know, even during the games. I still, and I'm always amazed that you have time to tweet while you're doing the Red Zone. But the number of scenarios for possible playoff teams, even up till Sunday, even up till the last day of the regular season, was insane how many different ways it could have broken.
Well, in the AFC, there were 128 scenarios heading into Sunday. But that doesn't mean that many teams were alive. It means there were seven games on Sunday that had direct impact on how the AFC would be seeded. There are only six teams that make it, but there were seven games that had some say. So, you know, the people at NFL Network put together a great chart, a color-coded chart.
That's where you go to the, like, a weather map. Like
exactly.
The weather people do.
It kind of looks like the Iowa caucuses tonight, I'm assuming, on someone's right. flat screen. And they put together all the numbers, and there were 128 of them. But at the end, you knew Houston was the three. You knew likely New England was the one. That was a winnable game, despite the fact that they were down 21-0. And so, really, the two, the four, the five, and the six... We're up for grabs.
Just tell me the Broncos aren't still in it.
The Broncos are in it.
By losing, right?
In. They lost not only this week, they've lost three in a row and really looked, what's the word I'm looking for? Bad. In those three.
Wait, that's a technical football
term
here.
And they had a three-way tie. They got in ahead of the Raiders and the Chargers in an 8-8 three-way tie.
I have to pay a listener $1,200 if they win the Super Bowl.
Well, I am not rooting for or against them, of course.
I'm rooting against them.
However, I would be highly surprised if they came calling.
Yeah. Well, highly surprised. Keep in mind the Jesus factor. He's had a few weeks off. He's very busy over the Christmas season. But now that the holidays are behind him, his birthday is gone, now he has time to focus on the Broncos again.
And let me just bring this up. If a bet's made before you realize God is on the side of a team... I mean,
I think you're still on the you're still on the hook for that listener that lost his ticket in Las Vegas. Yes,
himself on the side of a team doesn't throw a bet off.
Correct me if I'm wrong. They're 0-3 since the SNL bit, right?
Yes, that's sure. right.
I believe that's right.
And, that is
and
right.
Those
yes.
first two games, they gave up. I think they gave up 40 points in each, and then this one they were beaten 7-3, in which Tebow completed only six passes.
Yes, they are not good.
Okay, they're bad right now. Hey, look, they're injured on defense as well. Brian Dawkins is banged up. Von Miller's not the same since his injury.
Just
so the defense has not been nearly as dominant. And there's a market correction. You want to use that terminology?
Sure.
There's a market correction with Tebow. With any rookie in any sport, eventually the league catches up to you, and then it's your move. Now, your time to adjust.
Right.
And not only him, but the offensive staff there, the coaching staff with the Broncos, and the last couple of weeks,
one last
they've
question.
Caught up.
Is it acceptable if I end up having to pay this bet to pay it off in installments? Is that cool?
Wait, you're asking me this?
I'm just saying in the room.
You can afford
I'm
to pay it off in one check.
I'm saying the room.
I think you have to pay it off the way the listener would have received the money from the casino in Las Vegas.
So
you
probably
lost
be
as
the
one
ticket.
Check. I will go to Las Vegas and then she has to come get it.
You have no idea what the ticket is? You have no idea where it is. No idea
he lost. He lost it the day he got back. He couldn't find it.
I lost hers and I lost mine on Arizona.
And what was yours? Well, yours is already. I mean, you were burning money then. Why didn't you just put it in a
in the
fireplace.
Because
I did it like 3 years ago when they went to the Super Bowl. Or whenever they went to the Super
right.
Bowl, I did it. And I would have won $1,200 as well, but it didn't end up happening.
All right, let me move on to another game that I am fascinated with, only because Andrew Siciliano is from the NFL Network is our guest in studio here on the Kevin Bean Show. I was so fascinated yesterday to see all the people that said the phenomenal performance from the Green Bay backup quarterback, Matt Flynn, yesterday may have cost Aaron Rodgers an MVP season because now it is pointed out that almost anyone can quarterback and win with the Packers because they're that good.
That's
your thoughts.
Insane. It's insane. Wait. He will still be the MVP. But Drew Brees deserves a lot of votes. Matter of fact, if you vote for Drew Brees, it will be hard to argue. But Aaron Rodgers, I think people have had this locked in. He's 15-1. He's going to win the MVP.
Yeah.
The numbers he has put up, they're not Drew Brees numbers, but they're MVP numbers in any other season. I'd rather look at it this way and say Matt Flynn made himself a lot of money
right.
because he is going to be a free agent. So, hey, we'll bench our quarterback. We don't want to get anyone hurt. Hey, Matt, come on down. Here's your audition. And in his audition, he rewrites the Green Bay record book heading into free agency.
Did he have better stats on Sunday than any game that Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers has ever quarterbacked?
That is correct.
Is that insane when you look at the legacy?
They were playing the Lions, a playoff team.
Oh.
A playoff team. Granted, a playoff team with defensive issues.
Sure.
But a playoff team, nonetheless. And he put up 480 yards, never done before as a Packer quarterback, and 6 touchdowns, never done before as a Packer quarterback. That's not saying he's better than Aaron Rodgers. That's not saying he's better than Brett Favre. But there's a dearth of talent out there at quarterback.
Yeah.
Somebody
yeah.
is going to write him a fat check. You talk about, like, what was the lottery a couple of weeks ago? 200-some million?
Yeah, right.
Matt Flynn won the lottery on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Period.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Because he's not going to play again. I mean, unless Rodgers gets hurt. He's not going to play again.
Yeah.
There's my audition. I'm done. I'm going to sit over there holding my helmet, listening to the play calls, and let Aaron Rodgers go out there, win us a Super Bowl, and you can write me a check when we get done.
But so Green Bay won't try to keep him. I mean, let's face it. They had Aaron Rodgers, who was as good as he is, on the bench for a number of seasons waiting to finally have his time. You don't think they'll do the same with Matt because Aaron's way too young?
Well, first of all, if they could, they could put a franchise tag on him. I mean, but then you have to pay him. Correct me if I'm wrong here. I haven't done the numbers. I believe they'd have to pay him $14 million to be a backup.
Ouch.
Which is unlikely.
That's rich.
Which is unlikely. In all likelihood, they let him walk and they let him get paid. Rodgers is only 28. Here, perfect example.
Wow.
Brandon Whedon. You guys didn't watch the, what was it, the Fiesta Bowl last night? Stanford,
no.
Oklahoma State. All right, so the Oklahoma State quarterback is a guy that went and played minor league baseball for 5-6 years.
Wow.
All right, he's kind of Chris Wenke, remember him years ago at Florida State?
Yes.
All right, and then he came back, enrolled at Oklahoma State, and has put together a fantastic career. He's 28 years old.
In college?
He's 28 years old.
Wow.
Playing quarterback last night for Oklahoma State. He is older than 8 of the 12 starting quarterbacks in the playoffs.
That sounds like
8
crazy.
Of the 12, including Aaron Rodgers by 2 months.
Might I suggest that guy is stupid?
Well, he's put together
he
a nice career.
Graduate.
He's good. Somebody will give him a job next year, likely not as a starting quarterback in the NFL, but he'll get a job.
And give him a year-to-year contract, but other than that...
Right. My point is that Aaron Rodgers isn't going anywhere anytime soon. You don't lock up that much money in a backup
quarterback. When we get back, we need to find out who's going to win the Super Bowl, and you're going to tell us.
All right, then you're going to go and try to double down on
that's
that
correct.
Bet there with the whole Bronco thing and
correct,
all that?
Yes.
Sure, okay, good.
Andrew Siciliano in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show. By the way, talking NFL football this time tomorrow on the program, just in time for your New Year's resolution to get in shape, Psycho Mike will be here with the Psycho Body. How about that?
Excellent.
Got that for you tomorrow here on the Kevin Bean Show.
Psycho Body.
The Psycho Body.
What
people
is the
call
Psycho
in,
Body?
He's a trainer. He's an actual
physical
trainer. And people call in and ask, you know, questions. And at this time of year, it's always, how can I lose weight?
Exactly.
Yeah. Don't you hate the gym in January?
I hate the gym all the time. Yeah, in January.
I haven't been inside of a gym as an adult, so what do I know?
That's fine.
That's
but
not
I hate
even
it in
January.
January.
First 2 weeks.
I mean,
honestly.
Give them 2 weeks.
It really does thin out pretty quick.
And I'm not nearly as good as I used to be. I used to go all the time. Now I'm 2, 3, 4 days a week, if that. Right? But the gym in January is a mess.
I've cut back to 6 days a week.
Six? You've cut back. I can see you're letting yourself go, Kevin. Really?
Andrew, you've made some interesting points here in the last couple of weeks, one of which is the NFL, the greatest sport, most popular sport in the United States of America, has unbelievable parity. Every single year, new teams, and I think this year, once again, for like the 16th year in a row, five teams that didn't make the playoffs last year are in the playoffs.
I think it's six, actually. Let me do the math.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's unbelievably healthy for the sport, isn't it?
Detroit, Houston, and Denver.
You don't have to name them. That's not a test.
Of course it is.
Literally
because
doing the math.
For a couple of reasons. Baseball. Now, the Texas Rangers have surprised people the last couple of years, certainly. But baseball, you know it's going to be the Yankees, the Red Sox. Generally speaking, the Red Sox didn't make it this year.
Right.
The Phillies.
The teams with the big, big budgets.
The teams that spend the most money. There's always someone that sneaks in. The Twins will have a nice year, so on and so forth. In the NFL, obviously, the salary structure is different.
Right.
You, with the revenue sharing, with the TV money, with the marketing and the merchandising money, you would like to think that every team has the same shot. Now, the cynics can say that's not the case, but look at the Cincinnati Bengals.
You do have New England.
Right.
You have those teams that always play well.
But that's better management,
right,
more so than it is spending of money. Look at the Bengals. The Bengals are a franchise a lot of people have laughed at. Right?
And
the last decade.
So.
Right. You know, they have one good year, one bad year. One good year, one bad year. They trade away Carson Palmer. They bring in a rookie quarterback. They bring in a rookie wide receiver. They are in the playoffs. That's unexpected. Look at Indianapolis. One man gets injured. They go from playoff team 9 years in a row to the first pick in the draft.
Yeah.
It's the world's greatest reality show, hands down, because you truly don't know.
Speaking of the Colts, are they going to get Andrew Luck? I mean, do you bring in the new great next hope when you've got Peyton Manning sitting around? He probably wouldn't like that.
If and when Andrew Luck officially declares for the NFL draft,
right,
which it appeared that he all but did last night in his post-game interview,
right?
I think this is going to be, and they'll go back to the reality show thing, one of the most fascinating sports stories the last 10 years. Because you have, I mean, it's a business story. It's a human relations story. It's a legacy story. It cuts to the core of any and everything we do with running a business.
Yeah.
You have a guy who, if healthy, is, you can make the argument, the best quarterback to ever walk.
Right.
Right.
But how many years does that best quarterback that ever walked last?
I don't know, but you just paid him $28 million, and you got to do it again if you want to stick him around, if you want to keep him around.
Yeah.
You have a kid. You say what you want about that guy. Hey, he's still a college quarterback. Now, everything says success. Everything.
Everything. Everything points to the fact that he's going to be the next Peyton Manning
or whatever. You cannot miss.
Right.
So, if your guy is healthy, do you bring the kid in?
I do.
I'll throw this out there, too. Let's say you choose to trade either Peyton Manning or the first pick. What's the value? You have unprecedented value for either. Peyton, if he is healthy, if he is healthy, he's gone to two Super Bowls and is arguably the greatest quarterback to play the game. If that pick is what you trade, you can write your own price.
Yeah, that's
because,
true.
Look, the number one pick's been traded before, whether it's Eli and Phillip Rivers, whether it's Michael Vick. It's been done before, but no one has ever had a grade on the quarterback like this grade.
Right, like the expectations on him are through the roof.
So you can write your ticket. You can name your price. That doesn't mean you're going to get it.
Right.
But you're going to get more than anyone has ever received.
Yeah.
Which way do you go? And now, yesterday, they fired their GM.
Who? The
Colts.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there's always a surprise with the coaches getting fired. Yesterday was the shocker. The Colts cleaned out their front office yesterday.
Wow.
So they fired their president, who brought in Peyton Manning and built everything they had there. And under the president, his son was now GM. So it was like a family affair. They wiped him out.
Wow.
Get out of here.
How about that?
So now the owner sits back, and he was going to make the decision anyway. He owns the team. It's his call what they do.
Right.
But now he's going to bring in a new GM, and the coach is left in the lurch. It looks like he's gone, but they said yesterday, we don't know yet.
We might keep him around.
We don't know yet.
Andrew Siciliano is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Unfortunately, we're in our final 2 minutes here, Andrew. We need some sort of an overview of how you expect the playoffs will go.
How do I expect the playoffs to go?
Wild card this weekend.
All right, wild card week. Let's fast forward. It's going to be, you have to go through Lambeau. All right, so in the NFC, if you're going to make it to the Super Bowl, the Packers have home field advantage. The NFC Championship game, I can't see any way in which it is not
in Green Bay.
I agree.
All right. So it's either San Francisco at Green Bay in a couple of weeks or New Orleans at Green Bay. If it's New Orleans at Green Bay, it will look like the game with Green Bay and Detroit this past Sunday, in which it's 50-40 or something. It'll be one of the most highly entertaining games anyone's seen in years, and I still expect Green Bay to get through there. But New Orleans should be scary. In the AFC, I truly have no idea. Because New England's defense isn't good enough to win a championship. It's the worst statistical defense in the NFL.
All right.
Total defense and passing defense. No one is worse than New England. No team has won a championship with the last defense in football since the 1964 Cleveland Browns.
Who would you guess would come out of that league?
I would have said Pittsburgh, but now they lost their running back.
So it really is just a coin flip.
It's Baltimore.
Baltimore.
I'll take Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Baltimore is the two seed.
Are you aware that Baltimore has a T in it?
Do I say Baltimore all the time?
Say with a D.
Three times.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, Baltimore. People that live there say Balmer.
They say Balmer. It's funny. Someone tweeted that at me a couple of weeks ago. I didn't realize. Do I say Baltimore?
Yeah, you say with a D.
Wow.
It's no big Baltimore. Deal. I just thought it was funny.
And I'm from Virginia.
Yeah.
Which is like, yeah.
And Baltimore is a very famous city of Virginia, so we all got the connection there.
Baltimore.
Maybe Baltimore, Green Bay.
I like.
Maybe that's the Super Bowl.
More. I'm not going to call them Baltimoreans either. Baltimore and Green Bay.
Okay, we all learned a little something here today. Andrew Siciliano, always great to catch up with you. NFL Total Access Monday through Thursdays at 4 on the NFL Network. And the beautiful thing is you're working the playoffs. Yeah, you'll be at the Super Bowl. And then the show continues year-round, right? I mean, there's never an end to things to talk about in the NFL, even in the offseason.
That is unless something tragic happens with me on the zip line in Indianapolis.
No.
What? Huh? Dave and I were talking zip lines before. We did one in Vegas. They're going to have one in Indy, and I plan to ride the zip line on TV. Yeah.
But you're small enough. Don't worry about it.
Speaking of Coldplay, by the way, about 15 minutes from right now, we'll give you tickets to go see them at the Hollywood Bowl on May 1st or 2nd. That's what you get just for qualifying. You win those tickets, then you're in the drawing Monday. We call someone to help them win K-Rock's World Tour 2012 Destination Number 1, which is Coldplay in Madrid, Spain. That's a good way to get the new year started right there, huh? That sound means it's TMZ.com time every Monday, or in this case, Tuesday after the long holiday weekend. We catch up with our friends in the TMZ newsroom. Dax is on the phone, Harvey Levin's right-hand man. Hey, Dax, Happy New Year to you, my friend. How are you?
Thanks. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, I'm furious at TMZ. I'll tell you that. I tell you, you just about ruined my holiday, for starters.
Why?
Why do you look at the site? Did you see the topless photos that you put up of Steven Tyler? Don't ever let me see that again, Dax. What are you doing with those boobs? Come on.
Not only was he topless, he was wearing a camo Speedo, which puts the cherry right on top of that nastiness.
No one needs to see that. Seriously, keep your shirt on, 65-year-old man. Come on with the come on.
You know what? That was the reaction we were looking for, so thanks for
that. There are some things that will never leave your mind, Bean. You'll never be able to flush those photos.
Now, you tried hard, though, to make me forget about those with the Katy Perry in Hawaii photos. That bikini was struggling to stay on when she was out there playing in the surf.
Waiting for that top to snap, but it didn't.
It was begging for help.
Let's talk about our dear friend Katy Perry. Look, no one was surprised to hear that she and her husband were breaking up. I guess it lasted 14 months. What's the inside word on this?
Here's the thing. So we hear that they were definitely infatuated with each other when they got married. They were fully in love. And I think that they liked the fact that they were both very opposite. And they did the whole opposite attract kind of thing. But then once they got married, they started to fight with each other and bicker and argue, and obviously they were never together because they both were very hectic schedules, and they spent long periods of time not together, and so eventually they were like, okay, this is not going to work out.
You know, it's funny, you get the idea that had they spent a lot of time together, it would have ended sooner. You know?
You're probably right. And you know what? Here's the thing. She likes to party. She likes to go out and club and do that kind of thing. He's more of a homebody. And you would think it was opposite, but he's sober now. He's like, look, my life is different. I'd rather just hang out at home with my wife. And she's like, no, I want to go party.
Nope. I'm not that wife.
I think that made it hard on them.
And I think Kevin makes a good point. I think it lasted 14 months because in that time, they probably only spent 2 months together. And a lot of times this happens with, working couples, particularly in the kinds of jobs that they've chosen, where they are gone for weeks at a time on tour or weeks at a time making a movie. I mean, it's pretty easy to kind of drift apart and lose sight of what that initial attraction was, I guess.
Yeah, and, I think even from the beginning, the first photo I saw them holding hands, I'm like, really?
Yep.
These two?
Yep.
It didn't make any sense to me, but I figured, okay, we'll go along with it. They're both kind of quirky, and strange, and they seem to have fun together. No, but then after a while, you're like, nah.
You know what? From the very beginning, you're right. From the very, very first rumor, everybody was like, nope, not going to happen. Then they got married, but still, it didn't change anyone's mind. It was just this matter of time.
And I'm surprised a little bit that it is as amicable as you say, and the reasons, I mean, by all accounts, what you're describing is what we're hearing happen. It's not like he, you know, fell off the abstinence wagon because, you know, he was a self-professed sex addict before they got married. I thought when they broke up, oh, he must have been cheating on her, but there's nothing to support that, right?
No, it seems like neither of them hate each other. It's very far from it, and that neither of them believe the other one cheated. It's nothing scandalous like that. It's just like, wow, we're not... a good couple, and they realize it, and they're going, okay, well, let's get a divorce and move on.
How come celebrities can do that and the rest of us can't? You know? With everybody else, it's angry, and you're yelling, and you're fighting back and forth.
That's also kind of what they're putting out there. Who knows if that's actually true, but they seem to be doing fine, and that's why they just went, let's get out of town. She went to Hawaii. He went to London. They didn't want to be around for when the divorce broke.
Dax, is there any kind of a list? Because I got next. I'd like to call next. And
why, you want to be with Russell Brand that badly, Kevin?
I want to be with Katy Perry, and I don't know where the list is.
Is it true? Did I read this on TMZ? Or somewhere else, Dax, do you know, is it true that he might get some sort of spousal support from her or get a portion of her fortune?
I don't think that's going to be true. I don't think he would ask for that. I mean, he makes a lot of money himself. And you just kind of look bad when you start asking for that and you already have a ton of money. You know what I'm saying? Like, how bad would people look at him? They're like, really, Russell? You need to get spousal support from her? And the interesting thing is, they just bought a huge house in the Hollywood Hills recently. And I'm going, well, that was a bad investment.
Nah, they'll just buy another one. Just one of them in each one.
She has to be, I mean, even more than Kim Kardashian, because Katy Perry is awesome, has a great personality and is talented. She has to be the most eligible bachelorette in show business right now. I mean, like, Bradley Cooper has to be with her now, right? Or Jason Sudeikis, or one of those guys who dates everybody. They've got to be working on that right now, right?
I got to think that she is definitely probably the number one choice right now for bachelorette.
Speaking of couples that split up, Kobe and Vanessa. This is the first time I've ever seen a headline, because you'd think the headline would read, Kobe cheated, Vanessa files for divorce. But the headline in this particular case was, he cheated too much. It's okay, like, let's say 100 a year.
Look,
all
everyone
right.
Everyone knows that basketball players cheat.
And that's the thing. But you know what, with him, I was going, you're an idiot. Like, you knew. Like, you got caught once. Like, time to clean up your act. And apparently that didn't happen, and he really wants her back. He's trying to fix the whole thing. He's going, look, she's really important, but it's like, it's too late, buddy. You know. And now he's got the hurt wrist that I guess he tore a ligament in his arm. He's getting all these cortisone shots and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, ooh, it's not looking good for him at the moment.
No. And he's going to need that wrist now that he's single, too. Let's all be honest. Come on.
Oh, please,
Bean. How do you think he really pulled that ligament?
Please.
Last question. What's that payoff going to be like? How much does Vanessa stand to make, if you know?
It's going to be a huge, huge divorce, I'm telling you, because he's worth millions and millions of dollars, and there was no prenup, and she will get half, and you know what? But his family warned him of this a long time ago. They said, you need a prenup.
Right.
You're making a lot of money, even though you're young, and it's just going to keep building and building, but he didn't do it.
Yeah, well, as long as it doesn't affect the Lakers, that's all I'm talking about. Other than that, I don't care.
You can follow all of these stories. Also, who showed up at Lindsay Lohan's door and rang the bell? And why has the Octomom been dumped by her manager? TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. Check your local listings for TMZ Television. Dax, you're the best man. Thanks a lot for coming on. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you guys.
Visit AnaheimDucks.com/tickets. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:54.
Speaking of hockey, Ralph, what did you think of your Flyers in the Winter Classic yesterday?
Yeah, I was disappointed by the outcome, but it was a great game. Great to see the city in the wintertime, too. I've always liked Philly in the winter.
Oh, boy, does it look cold, and I don't want to be there.
Oh, it looked awesome. Wasn't it so
warm that they had to move the game later to try to keep it cold enough?
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
For weather conditions, they were trying to, move it to late afternoon so it would chill up a little bit. But even warm wintertime in Philadelphia is in its 40s. They were concerned that that would be too warm for ice, but not too warm for people.
That's right, man. All right, it's Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Coming up after the top of the hour, by the way, we're going to talk to Rick Savage. You may recognize the name, former DJ.
He's a private investigator. Rick Savage, PI, right? He was a guy who looked for the Lindbergh baby. I think
no,
so.
Yeah, this guy got video on his iPad of them arresting the dude who is being booked under suspicion of all those Hollywood arson fires. He actually shot the video. Ended up, I think he was on Nightline last night on ABC World News. I mean, the guy is everywhere now because he was in the right place at the right time with his technology.
Maybe he was his accomplice.
Yeah. Well, believe me, we're going to pull that out of him if we get him on the air here in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, let's play Confess Your Crime here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's do that.
That is coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
It is Tuesday. However, still going to look at the top 10 movies at the box office because it was a long holiday weekend. Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol, still number one at the box office, $38.3 million. Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, came in at number two with $26.5 million. Alvin and the Chipmunks was third. Chipwrecked was third at the box office. Third most popular film in the movie theaters.
Dude. Kids are home and parents are like, we've got to do something with them.
$21 million yesterday. You know, speaking of kids being home, my wife and I took Olivia to the zoo yesterday.
Yes.
Don't go there when the kids are out of school.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Too many
kids.
Crowded.
That's what I'm saying. Do not go there.
You love your own kids, but other people's kids drive you crazy.
Yes, they do.
Yep.
And there was one kid who was like punching his mom. And
all
he was
right.
Just one of those kids. And the father took him behind the bathrooms. I said, I don't know what's going to happen. That guy may come back alone. He looked pissed.
He's getting thrown in the gorilla cage. Fend for yourself, son.
He's lion food. Anyway, interesting. I hadn't been there in years and years and years. It's quite the deal I got going over there at the LA Zoo.
The animals and whatnot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's huge. It's acres and acres, and the giant elephant enclosure they built there, one of the largest in the city, in the country. It's very impressive with what they do there.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a carousel.
Yeah. But other people's kids.
Other people's kids.
Deal breaker.
Warhorse, fourth. Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, fifth. We Bought a Zoo, The Adventures of Tintin, New Year's Eve, The Darkest Hour, and The Descendants, rounding out the top 10 at the box office. Sad news, Bob Anderson has passed away. Legendary swordsman. And I mean that in the... there's Darth now. Legendary swordsman. He was an Olympic swordsman for the UK team, the British team, and he got into the movies after that and worked in... some of history's best-known movies, was the swordplay expert for almost every film you can imagine. Princess Bride, for example, he was the swordsman expert for that. But he was probably best known for playing Darth Vader in all Darth Vader's lightsaber battles. He passed away at the age of 89.
Bam Anderson? Today.
Yeah, so it turns out David Prowse was the guy in the costume.
Right.
James Earl Jones did the voice of the costume. This guy did the sword fighting. Darth Vader's a freaking sham, man. He's bogus. What is he, bogus character? It takes like three guys to work him. Oh, what are you, a puppet? Not scary at all.
It's no different than Kermit.
That's right. Lindsay Lohan had a bad start to her 2012. She was hanging out at her home in Venice Sunday when a strange man came to the door and demanded to talk to her.
Pam Anderson?
That's never good, right?
Lindsay refused to answer the door and immediately called the authorities, who arrested 64-year-old Lonnie Short for trespassing.
Dude.
Got a 64-year-old stalker.
64?
Yeah. At least you can outrun him if anything bad ever happens.
Get back here! I've got duct tape!
You can outrun him backwards.
Wait! I've got a box opener!
And I can just about walk. I can't hold a walk.
Just about.
I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
You still like that Lindsay, though, sir. And this is a great story. You know, a lot of year-end lists were released over the holidays. This comes from babynames.com. This is their list of the worst celebrity baby names of 2011.
All right, worst.
Congratulations. It was a tie for number one, with Alicia Silverstone and Mariah Carey tying as worst naming moms. Of course, Mariah named her son Moroccan.
Moroccan.
That's right. Moroccan Scott Cannon. Because Nick Cannon's her husband. Moroccan Scott Cannon.
Wow.
Sounds like a bad DJ on K-Earth. Hey, you're listening to Moroccan Scott Cannon here. Coming up next, we've got Brooklyn Bridge. Worst thing could happen. Coming up next, stick around. K-Earth 101.
I mean, it's no worse than Machine Gun Kelly. You're right.
And Alicia Silverstone named her son, I guess it is, Bear Blue.
Bear Blue.
Bear Blue Jarecki. is his name. Blue, by the way, spelled B-L-U is his middle name.
Because he's interesting and fascinating, Ralph.
Congratulations to those two mothers on being horrible.
Did you see, you probably didn't, but Jimmy Kimmel's girlfriend tweeted that her brother is a doctor, and he delivered a baby yesterday. She swears it is not a joke.
Oh, Lamangelo and Gerangelo?
The child's name is Y'all Jealous.
Oh, no! Right!
Y'all Jealous.
Jealous.
That's the best name ever.
Yep.
Best
How
name
about
ever.
That?
That is pretty spectacular.
That's pretty strong. That's Your Majesty strong is what that is.
Y'all Jealous.
Y'all Jealous.
Jealous.
Come on.
Love it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Bassist John Paul Jones of Led Zeppelin is 66 years old today. Actor Mel Gibson celebrates his 56th birthday. Actor Jason Marsden, who's a buddy of mine, a super talented voiceover actor, but you've also seen him a ton of television and movies. He is 37 years old today. Danica McKellar from The Wonder Years is also 37 today. And New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning celebrates his 31st birthday. King of Mexico celebrates a birthday as well today. Dave, our producer, is also celebrating his birthday.
He loves it when people come up to him and say happy birthday.
Yeah, so send him emails and tweets and any way you can find to celebrate him and his birthday.
And don't stop. Don't just do it once.
No, do it all week.
All week.
Yeah. See, go to his house. I'll give you his address.
Yes, yes.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Denny Martin from Ontario just won tickets to go see Coldplay at the Hollywood Bowl in May. He's got those. Now he's in the drawing for a phone call we'll make on Monday morning to send someone to destination number one of the K-Rock World Tour 2012. Yes, it's Coldplay again, this time in Madrid. That's in Spain, don't you know? That's a pretty good deal. We got that for you.
Topless beaches.
Got that for you all day, every hour from now until 5 o'clock right here on the world-famous K-Rock.
All right, let's bring in an ex-employee of our radio station, Rick Savage. Hi, Rick.
What's up, guys?
How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Are you the arsonist?
No, sir. We need to make that clear. I am not the arsonist.
You are confused, Kevin. You clearly did not read the article closely enough.
I did.
Rick is in the news and was on. Did you end up making it on Nightline last night or not, Rick?
I was on Nightline, guys. ABC World News and Nightline. It's a big deal that you're talking about.
Unbelievable.
To me right now. Yeah.
Now, what? It is a big deal. I hope it we don't have to pay you for this. Now, when
work something out. Coldplay tickets. We'll figure something out.
When I first heard that you were involved in this story, I thought, wow, what are the chances? The guy was in the right place at the right time to see a bit of local history being made as this arsonist who'd been terrorizing the Hollywood area for four nights was finally arrested. But then when I started to read the details of the article, man, it sounds to me like you were very invested in this story and were really, really following it closely to kind of know exactly what was happening when it was happening.
Yeah, I did what they tell you not to do, basically. I downloaded a police scanner, and I was listening to the reports, and I couldn't sleep because I was scared like everyone else in L.A. So I was just driving around Hollywood trying to find where they were.
And, what?
The fire department will be very clear. Like, don't do this. This is not recommended. But
I hear the same thing you do. When somebody says don't do this, to me they're saying do this.
Yeah, absolutely. So I sprang into action.
Let me ask you this, though, Rick.
Yeah, sure.
Millions of people, millions of cars, even in Los Angeles, just the Los Angeles city area, you know, where you live.
Right.
Did you really think it was likely that you were going to get hit, that your car was going to be the next one to get on fire? Because I would think the chances of that would be so remote. If he set 50 fires or something like that in a population of millions, it's infinitesimal that it's going to be you.
Right. I mean, the thing that really hit home was at the very end of my street, he hit an apartment building. And once I saw my street name in some of the reports, that's when it freaked me out. I was like, okay, this is very close to home. So
you decided to get in your car and get closer to it.
that again?
Yeah, you got in your car and got closer to it. It wasn't enough to be looking out the window. You had to
be
on the street.
I'm smart, guys. I'm a K-Rock veteran. I'm a smart guy.
How close were you to where the arrest went down?
Oh, 15 feet.
Wow.
It was nuts, man. I was the first, like, of course your friends from TMZ were there.
Yeah, of course.
But no one else, like none of the, like ABC, NBC, none of those guys were there. So I was actually right across the street before they even cleared the block. So I was like looking into the back of the car. I saw him like sitting in the back all cuffed, and it was real freaky.
Did you run by and toss him a lighter?
That's inappropriate.
I'm just saying.
Now, did you think as I did when you first saw this dude? Of course, you saw him in person. I only saw the footage on the news afterwards. But a dude with that ponytail is probably guilty, right?
Oh, for sure. As soon as the reports came out, I was like, kind of big guy, receding hairline, ponytail, like, guilty, done.
Yeah. So you filmed the arrest on your iPad, and then what did you do to it? What did you do with the footage?
I mean, I just started tweeting, and it kind of spread, and there was a kid from the LA Times there, so he asked me a couple questions, and then they ran it in the Times, and then that's when it just kind of spread in random blogs, and like the UK and New York Daily News, and these random people were running my quote, and I was like, yeah, this is awesome. I should totally be involved with this story.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So there have been no fires since this guy was arrested, which, by the way, if I were the guilty guy and this guy got arrested instead of me by mistake, that's exactly what I would do, is stop setting fires, because now you've got a cover or something like that. But by all accounts, they think they've got enough evidence on this guy. I think they found some things in his vehicle that were used to start fires. I mean, they're reasonably sure this is the right dude, right?
Yeah, I mean, as far as I'm kind of obsessed with this story. It's embarrassing. But yeah, as far as I can tell, it sounds like we're good to go, finally. We're safe.
Are you unemployed?
No, sir. I have a job.
Well, I'm just saying that most people who have the time to be obsessed with something like this have a little extra time. That's all.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's pathetic. Like, there's nothing. You don't have to mince words. It's embarrassing.
Okay. All right.
And he's living with his wife and also with his mom, and they're living on Sunset on top of like a hair salon or something like that. It did not look like a groovy situation.
Yeah, once they found the apartment and the news were kind of showing footage, I was like, oh, this all adds up to a real creepy, guilty dude. So hopefully he is.
Ah, crazy. It's just so weird. I mean, you know, you went out looking for it, but it's still kind of exciting that you got the scoop on this and that your video is being shown on TV and websites all over the world. Congratulations, man.
Thank you. I'm kind of excited about it.
You're an official reporter now.
Yeah, exactly. So
you're an investigator.
You guys need me to do stuff.
Nope.
TMZ, whatever.
Nope.
Rick Savage, citizen journalist. Thanks for joining us on the Kevin Thanks, Bean guys. Show, man.
Thank you, man.
See you. Bye.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on an all-new Kevin Bean Show here for a Tuesday, January 3rd, 2012. What's up, Ralph?
It's our first day back, so let's take a look at the big box office numbers for the four-day holiday weekend. What's
the matter? I swear I had jury duty today. Did you say the 3rd? What?
Yeah, it's the 3rd. You just now realizing today's the 3rd?
Did that date ring a bell all of a sudden?
Yeah,
with
I
you?
Think I have.
You have jury duty today?
Oh my God.
And how do you feel it's going?
Well, it went well, first of all.
Did and you say guilty?
Guilty of being sexy. I don't. I'll have to check when I get home, but I'm pretty sure.
Oh, don't worry. The police will be waiting for you. They'll check for you when you leave the building in the parking lot.
Pretty sure I had jury duty today.
Imagine living your life like Kevin lives his.
It's a lot more fun because then you don't have to worry about jury duty all that time.
Right, because you just ignore it.
That's a good point.
You know, I mentioned earlier today when we were talking about Christmas gifts, how Kevin got me this a very generous gift card for Amazon, which I think I probably lost. May have been stolen. More likely, I lost it. But then I was so angry at myself for it. But then I said, what could be a more appropriate tribute to Kevin than to lose a gift card that was very valuable?
Oh, you did it for a tribute.
That's what I did, yeah. I it was an homage to you, exactly.
Oh, that was nice.
I just thought it was appropriate, that's all. All right, Kevin's got jury duty. Well, that's good to know.
Who knew?
I thought you'd throw those things away. I didn't think you'd respond to them anymore.
Oh, I've done that for years and years and years and years. They've narrowed in and...
Now they have a task force now just assigned to you, getting you into jury duty.
I've got the badge number and all that crap.
So you actually signed up this time and said yes, and now you're just going to not show.
I think.
You know they could issue a bench warrant for that.
Well, I'm not positive.
You're in contempt of court right now.
I'm not positive.
You are in contempt.
I'm not positive.
By the way, would you want Kevin on a jury? Can you imagine him trying to...
I would be the best
you. Are you kidding me?
If I was guilty, absolutely I would want Kevin on my jury.
Baloney. It doesn't make sense.
Because Kevin be like, I've wanted to murder people sometime. I can see what that guy's thinking.
But you can't pay attention long enough to absorb and process the facts of the case.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, exactly. How dare you?
I'm out of order. You're out of order. This whole courtroom's out of order. That's what Kevin's going to do.
The first thing I'm going to do is object.
He would object. Absolutely.
All right, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, still number one at the box office. $38.3 million made over the long weekend. Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows was two, and then Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked, was third.
You didn't say shipwrecked.
No, I said chipwrecked.
That's crazy.
A very funny listener tweeted moments ago, the next Chipmunks movie is going to be the Humunk Chippipede.
That's funny.
I hope it is. War Horse was fourth. Girl with the Dragon Tattoo came in at number five. We Bought a Zoo, The Adventures of Tintin. Anybody see The Adventures of Tintin?
No, but it looked good. I thought.
You know what people are telling me, and I find this to be true, especially with computer animation. that it's that disconcerting sort of realistic computer animation, like that Polar Express kind of.
Too real?
Too real.
Yeah.
And there's that phenomenon, psychological phenomenon, that the closer something gets to being real life, the more you distance yourself and look for the differences in it because it's very disconcerting to you.
Right.
And so they say all the characters sort of look dead in the eyes, and it's sort of hard to get involved in the film because of that that weird phenomenon.
I can see that.
People not enjoying it. New Year's Eve, 8th, Darkest Hour and The Descendants round up the top 10 at your box office. Katy Perry, although she is single, did not cry to her cats on New Year's Eve. Didn't hang out and feel bad, sorry for herself.
I don't imagine she has to.
She was partying hardy, Marty, in West Hollywood, apparently dancing, laughing, and according to onlookers, appeared to be heavily flirting with one lucky young man. He had long hair down to his shoulders, by the way. If you're looking for Katie's type, apparently that is it. Now, Kevin has a giant head down to his shoulders, but he does not have hair down to his shoulders, so I don't know if he qualifies or not.
Did they kiss at midnight, does it say?
It doesn't say whether they were macking or not, just she certainly seemed into him and vice versa.
Well, let's push that. Let's believe it because we want to.
Let's say that they were making out furiously.
They were really making out allegedly.
That we were just talking about Dick Clark on New Year's Eve. You know, Jenny McCarthy was out in Times Square, and she seriously was macking with a police officer at midnight. That was her choice. It's just some, you know, uniformed officer on the beat there.
He deserves it.
Kissing crazy, yeah.
I'm sure the powers that be at the NYPD will look fondly upon that. I'm sure he won't be called into somebody's office today looking for...
I hope not.
He should get an accommodation.
They don't like it when you fraternize while you're on duty.
No, but come on.
Hey, Playmate of the Year, come on.
And look, at least he kept her from talking. He was doing a public service. She wasn't able to speak for those few brief seconds, so at least we were all blessed in that
way. She couldn't push any kids out of the way of inoculations either while she was busy kissing.
That's right. And Lindsay Lohan did not have a good start to her 2012.
Now what?
Apparently Sunday in May, a strange man came and knocked on her door demanding to talk to her. Lindsay refused to open the door and called the authorities. Turned out it was a 64-year-old stalker named Lonnie Short. He was arrested for trespassing.
64.
And for having horrible taste, too, by the way. And Chuck Lorre, executive producer of Two and a Half Men. He apparently is going to be single very soon. Things have gone south with his longtime girlfriend, Emmanuelle Vougier. I don't know if you know her or not, but she's a stunning actress.
Don't.
Been in a bunch of stuff. He was caught cheating with another woman, apparently.
Wow.
He's not a great-looking dude, but he's very powerful. Maybe that's the attraction.
Very rich.
She is stunning. She heard a rumor, confronted him about it, and then apparently it came to light that he was indeed involved with another woman. Not the best place to get in, for relationships over there. And Two and a Half Men.
Yeah,
I don't have a great track record.
Is he going to trash her in the card at the end of the episode again?
I believe he
like
will.
He does?
Just say effing whore at the end. That'd be a very simple card. Today's celebrity birthdays, John Paul Jones of Led Zeppelin. Legendary bassist for that band. He is 66 years old today. He has not aged well, John Paul Jones.
No.
Looks a little rough around the edges. Mel Gibson is 56 years old. My buddy and the talented actor and voiceover artist Jason Marsden celebrates his 37th birthday today. Danica McKellar of The Wonder Years is 37 as well. Eli Manning, New York Giants quarterback, is 31 years old today. And our own producer Dave, the King of Mexico, celebrates his birthday today.
He came to me just before the report and he said, please give out my email address.
Oh, please give it out so I get some love for my birthday.
So kingofmexico@krock.com.
King of Mexico.
Feel free to send him some birthday love.
Easy sweater time already.
He loves it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have thanks for that tweet, Bean.
Oh! How dare you?
Can't wait. Omar's mom is the Antichrist.
I'm sorry, I was drinking some coffee there. They may have missed that.
Psycho Mike will be here with the Psycho Body, telling you how to lose all that weight that you've told yourself you need to lose.
In like a week. He'll get you into shape in a week.
We also have, you fell in love with an adopted sibling.
What?
Yes.
You want to start your year this way?
Have you been watching Dexter? Did you watch Dexter?
Of course I watched Dexter, yes.
So, sister falls in love with brother.
She makes the realization that perhaps she has a thing for
and
him.
And doesn't love him, but is in love with him.
And that's not the worst thing that happened that season.
I was trying to say things without Lisa
he
learning.
He sent me out of the room.
We also have a brand new internet roundup tomorrow as well.
Huh.
So, and your chances to win qualify for that trip for two to see Coldplay in Madrid, Spain. All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.